B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And welcome aboard. Jonky Kate Show on this Monday. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. I think Bob just got a little taste of Magic Spoon.
Delicious.
Coach is like a pusher.
Coach, our pusher man.
Coach is now the Magic Spoon pusher. He got Connor hooked this morning. Now he's giving Bob there a little. What'd you have, Bob? The peanut butter, the cocoa?
Looks like Fruit Loops kind
Fruit
of things.
Fruit Loops? He had the fruity.
It's the imitation. I had the fruity. Yeah.
So there it is.
Uh-huh.
Supposed to taste a little like Fruity Pebbles, I guess.
Yeah.
To get that. So he's got himself all set here.
Delicious. But good for you. Yes.
The big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So the pusher, there he is, the pusher of all things good. Not since Joe Carcione has Philadelphia seen
your green
a pusher with your tip for the day. As we get started today, we thank Bradford White Water Heaters, Bradford White here for the pro, as our 6 a.m. sponsor.
By the way, my water heater went this weekend.
You're kidding me.
No.
Really? What do you mean went?
It wasn't a Bradford White, so that was probably my problem.
Did it explode?
Not explode, leak? But heavy leak.
Garage?
Into the basement floor a little bit.
Okay.
I caught it early enough, but yeah, if it had been a Bradford White, maybe I wouldn't have that.
Did
problem.
You have the little meter on the floor that told you immediately sent the signal out?
No, we have a home warranty, so we call the warranty company.
No. But next time, just get that little thing on when you get the new one. It's like if the floor gets wet, it automatically sends a whoop.
Yeah, I need to get that.
It gives you that.
Turn the gas off, turn the water off, and no hot showers for me this morning.
Oh no. And 6 a.m. Bauer, by the way, co-sponsored just for today by Bill's Alarm Clocks. As Jamie hit the snooze button.
My first real oversleep.
Time, your first it's the first oversleep of the show.
I rolled over, saw 4:55, thought for a second. I was like, that means it's 3:55. I'm good. And then I was like, oh, God!
How did you think 4:55 meant 3:55?
Well, because, your eyes aren't really there yet. Though,
he woke up at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I woke up oddly for like an hour in the middle of the night. I was all thrown really? Off.
Were you something on your mind?
Yeah.
Probably that Phillies
game. To us, James.
We'll get to that. All right, the Sixers eye up the play-in tournament teams and the landscape of the Eastern Conference. And you know my favorite word in the English language, joyous. And everything has broken their way. Period. No excuses. A cushy path on paper that better translate to the court. Having to beat the second best play-in team and the potential Knicks-Hawks winner is the relative 5-foot putt for a team with the pedigree of the Sixers and the accomplishments in the regular season of the Sixers and a team that absolutely their floor this year was having a chance to play in the conference finals. Things are looking up as we start this Monday, and it's damn joyous. Everything after the overreaction the other day to the Heat loss, which, by the way, now you don't have to face the Heat. You don't have to face the Bucks. You don't have to face the Nets. Only one of them can potentially get to the conference final to play you. I believe one of them will be waiting for you, but you don't have to play either of those three when the Sixers, till they get to the conference final. In other words, if Doc Rivers, Daryl Morey, Elton Brand had truth serum, Cooney slips into the Sixers' offices and gives them truth serum and says, write down on paper, the three teams in the East you do not want to face most of all in order. I guarantee you those three teams would have been the teams. Nets, Bucks, and of course the Miami Heat. And guess what? They don't have to face any one of them in the first two rounds. It is a glorious Monday. And that's where we begin because I ditched the Philly story. We'll get to that later where the miserable provide. But we get started up there. Bob, it is a, do you believe, you slip in, you put a little coffee, you bring them some coffee, you got a little truth serum in it. They all take a swig. And then you ask them to write down the three teams the Sixers did not want to have to face until potentially the conference final. I believe it would have been Nets, Bucks, Heat. Is that fair?
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
Even though the Heat are the sixth seed.
Yeah, I think Eric Spoelstra knows how to coach against Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and that's tough. That would be a tough, tough series. So, yeah, if he had to draw it up and say, hey, what do you want? Here it is. So it all did play out. It's kind of like the Phillies in 08. You know, you didn't get the Yankees or you didn't get the Red Sox. You wind up with the Devil Rays.
The Eagles not getting the Saints?
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the Minneapolis Miracle?
Yeah, sometimes these things have to come out to play. Now, I hope to God, like I say all the time, that I'm watching a Sixers team that I don't care who the opponent is, that they're playing their game, that it's not, oh, okay, they beat the Hawks in six or five and they looked okay. I don't want to have any doubts. I want the Sixers to come out and play their game for all the series leading up. Because listen, when you face either the Nets, the Bucks, or the Heat, you got to be playing your best basketball, because they, whoever comes out of that mix, is going to be. Because they're going to have to be at that time. They're going to be playing elite basketball.
I want to make Jamie smile so we can get him awake this morning. Jamie, the Heat play the Bucks, so one of them is eliminated before the Sixers even get to round two. So that's a blessing this morning. But also, too, hopefully when the team that goes out beats the hell out of the team that stays in. So, I mean, there's a lot of great that happened this weekend for the Sixers.
Yeah, you couldn't ask for a better scenario. You know, I understand Bob's point. Whoever comes out of that second round series is going to be playing great basketball. But I just think this team needs to get over the hump mentally. And if it takes a 5-foot putt, as you say, to get there, I'll take it every day of the week. Because I think if they get there mentally, they go, all right. I think it's going to be a battle no matter who they play in the Eastern Conference Finals, probably going six or seven games. Sure. And I have faith that Joel Embiid is going to put this team on his back and carry them, because that's the only way they're getting to the finals. Joel Embiid has to go, this is my team, everybody jump on board, let's go.
Want to make you smile, Pat. Want to give you a good smile this morning on a Monday. How about this scenario for you? The Bucks, who've been the number one seed 2 years in a row and haven't gotten it done, now have a more complete team. Jrue Holiday and everything like that's part of their group. So the Bucks have a hard-fought battle, get by the Heat, eliminate the Heat. And then the Bucks get just a knife fight, seven games, and they manage to beat the Nets. And they limp into the conference finals. I mean, I'm just thinking of every scenario that works the Sixers' way.
I like a good knife fight.
You like? Well, it always puts a smile on your face, right?
This is the most ideal situation that you could have played out at the beginning of the season. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season, all right, the Nets get James Harden, immediately you're probably like, okay, well, the Nets are the number one seed, but they're not.
We all thought it when the Nets did get Harden.
Yeah.
That next day, we all were picking two seed for the most part.
Well, and, you know, the Sixers hold on and they get the one seed. And the other thing is, okay, well, the Sixers need to get over the hump of winning a second round matchup. Well, this second round matchup that could potentially be between the Hawks and the Bucks, or I'm sorry, the Bucks and the Nets, like that, to avoid that is massive for
it's
the Sixers.
Huge.
The fact that they could potentially walk into the Eastern Conference Finals well rested and healthy and, oh,
It's amazing.
I'm pumped.
One thing I will not tolerate, and I'll tell you right now, no caller, no emailer, no nothing. If they get to the conference finals, which, by the way, was the floor of expectation for this year, well, they got there because they didn't have to play anybody. That is total crap. That was earned. They earned this.
Hey, you earned that, right?
They earned the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't want the moving of the goalposts with this team as far as expectations and what they accomplish. If they get to the conference finals, play really, really well. I want to see them win, obviously.
At home.
I mean, ooh. I want to see them. It's delicious. This is delicious. With full crowds, by the way.
Yeah.
Full crowds.
Yeah, that place is going to be wild.
This spring is turning glorious. It's absolutely turning glorious. But, Bob, I won't have it. I'm not going to ever accept that. I will honestly, if you call with garbage like that at 610-632-0975, I'll be done with you. I'm done with it because I can't. Because that's BS. They busted their ass to get the number one seed. And we see now how valuable this number one seed turned out to be. It was critical.
Yeah, and you can, you know, the first things I saw on a lot of the headlines last night, easy schedule at the end lends Sixers to be number one seed.
That's a bunch
okay,
of
okay, it's 72 games. It's not just the schedule at the end.
By the way, it's the same 72 games that the Nets play.
Yeah, exactly. And you did a great thing by going 31-11 in the conference. 31-11 in the conference. It's so
great
that's pretty cool. All right, so let's take it a step further. Who do you want?
Well, in the first round?
Who do you want?
I want Washington out. I want Washington out.
Now you want everything.
I want Washington out.
Yeah, okay. That'd be nice.
I would like to see Washington out. But the thing is, though, you can't get Boston. Boston's the team you can't get. Because if Boston wins, I don't think that would be the dream for me, though. Boston loses the 7-8 game and then wins the Thursday night game, has to play the second game, and then limps in. And I've moved over to Jamie's line of thinking.
When you say you can't get Boston.
Well, I mean, you can't. It's like, I don't believe that's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't believe Boston's losing to Washington and then winning the second game.
So who do you want? Boston, Washington, Indiana, Charlotte. Who do you want?
Oh, I want Charlotte. Okay. But I don't think that's happening.
And you want Washington out.
I want Washington out. Washington of the four is the team I want out. Because, you know, they played 17-6 down the stretch or whatever it was.
So that's why you want them out.
They're the hottest team. They are the hot. Gone. Done.
Out.
Removed. Removed from the equation. Or if I have to have them in, let them win the 7-8 game and let them battle the Nets in the first round and take some tread off that tire. So, I mean, whatever it is, avoid the Wizards. That's the one right now.
Yeah, anytime you don't have to play superstars in this league, it's a good thing, yeah.
Avoid the Wizards.
Yeah.
Or if the Wizards must win, let the Wizards win tomorrow night, be the 7 seed, and then run the net. You know, take the Nets to 6. Win 2 games against the Nets.
Yeah, I think Indiana or Charlotte are 5-game series at most. So I'll take either of them.
I'm weird. I'll you just want say the Celtics,
you want the
no,
Celtics.
No.
You are weird, by the way.
You want the Wizards.
Confirm that.
No, I hear you guys saying, oh, let Washington have the Nets, and that's going to be a tough series. I think that's a good thing. Not for the Sixers. Like, if I'm the Nets and I come out of a tough series.
They're good enough, but not.
I want competition. I hear all this. Okay. Oh, let's get the worst team. All of these teams have played to get where they are to start this playoffs, to stay healthy, for Durant and for Irving and for Harden to be healthy, for Embiid and for Simmons to be healthy. Okay, now you're there. Now it's ramp-up time. You play a Charlotte. Okay, do you have to ramp it up? No. Second round, you play in Atlanta. Do you have to ramp it up? No, you're just a better team. I hope to God these Sixers come out and play their best basketball despite what the opposition looks like.
We're taking it. Look, I fully acknowledge that I'm trying to take the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that for the Sixers, getting over that hump of getting to a conference final can be a little mental hurdle.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see, a lot of difficulty.
You don't want
in
the physical path. Hurdle to come into play.
Correct. I don't want
That's
seven
a good point.
Games.
Yeah.
I don't want 7 games to come into. I don't want them to be playing Russian roulette. I just don't. I want this to be, I would like, if I have my druthers, I'm saying they play 10 games to get to the conference final.
All right.
They play 10.
Yeah, that sounds
about
right.
They play 10 games. They play 2 5-game series or 1 sweep in a 6-game series.
And I agree with you. I think there's a mental hurdle there of getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like in 2001, the mental hurdle was beating Indiana because Indiana had ousted you the previous 2 playoff series. And then they went out and swept them. So I think getting over that mental hurdle in 2001, this one obviously is getting to the third round.
Thing with Jamie, though, is that Jamie had brought up before about saying, boy, I sort of would like you said Boston.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind the Sixers beating the hell out of the Celtics.
Nah, that'd be fun.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind the Celtics if it has to go. I don't see that scenario happening. Celtics lose tomorrow night at home and then win Thursday night at home and they get the 8th seed. I'd sort of enjoy seeing that. But Brad Stevens, somebody you might want to avoid. You can tell us your thoughts at 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. By the way, the Boston Globe, I guess it was yesterday, doing a thing was, you know, maybe the Celtics have to move on from Brad Stevens. And I'm like, do it. No, I'm like, do it.
Careful what you wish
for. No, I said, do it. Do it. Do it. Move on. I get Bob, whoever they hire won't be better than Brad Stevens. So I want them to do it.
Look, I understand that people run their time. Brett Brown's time came. It was time. Andy Reid, it was time.
Sure.
The best of coaches, not lumping Brett Brown into that, but the best of coaches, whoever it may be.
It was a smorgasbord.
Yeah, their time comes. And I'm not saying that Brad Stevens' time has come, but if anybody's thinking his time has come, well, then
it's already started.
I think it's short-sighted. Like,
totally short-sighted.
You can go through the peaks and valleys with a coach. When the peaks are much more prevalent than the valleys, and you can't stand the valley for a season or
it's
two,
unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, committed to being upfront with their customers, NJM. No jingles, no mascots, just great insurance. Get a quote today at NJM.com. So it's a glorious Monday. You want to share a thought with us, you can at 610-632-0975. The Phillies and the Blue Jays, far from glorious. And what I don't understand it now. Look, we talked about it a little bit last week with Gene Segura, and I've had baseball people tell me over many times over time. There's a reason why Gene Segura always moves around. There's a reason why he's not somebody that major league organizations are just dying to have, and that there's a chemistry problem with his manager. And there's a chemistry problem with his, I guess, performance level as far as the manager is concerned. And Joe Girardi talked about a confrontation in the dugout yesterday after the game.
You can ask all you want. You got everything you're going to get about it. All right? I'm done with it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jim and Bob.
I know you're doing your job, but that's it.
Joe, conversation or confrontation?
Next question.
How about the optics of all this?
I mean, next question. Next question.
I mean, it just from
Jimmy.
Baseball.
I'm not going to talk about it, Jimmy. I'm not going to talk about it. Next question. You got a baseball question? Ask me a baseball question.
Hey, Joe Girardi. With all due respect, that's a freaking baseball question. What are you talking about? That is a baseball question. That is completely condescending and arrogant. That is a baseball question. By the way, it was Jim Salisbury, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim followed it up, and he did say that was a baseball question.
Jim Salisbury, who, by the way, is respected in every market, they know Jim Salisbury.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Salisbury is known in every media market in Major League Baseball. He's a freaking reporter that knows how to do his job. Joe Girardi, that is a condescending, arrogant response. If you got a baseball question, are you kidding me? A confrontation in the dugout between a manager and a player is not a baseball question? What the hell's he? Why are you melting down, Joe Girardi? Why are you melting down? Why are you coming apart at the seams? This isn't what we expected when you came here. It's not.
No.
And that's a baseball question, Bob, right?
It's certainly. And when Jim asked the question yesterday and I heard Girardi's
respectfully,
answer.
Respectfully, by the way.
I shouted out, that is a, I swear to God to you guys, I shouted out, that is a baseball question. And Jim Salisbury, I didn't even have it all the way out of my mouth before Salisbury said the same thing. That is a baseball question.
It is a baseball question.
This is your baseball team. This is something that happened in your dugout.
During a baseball game.
In front of everyone. With one of your players who committed two errors today, and he has to be held back by one of your assistant coaches? That's a baseball question. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
You know, answer the question. I don't know what's going on with this team. I'm not kidding you. I have never seen anything like this in a baseball team in my lifetime.
What is specifically?
Defensively being the most horrific team I've ever seen.
They're playing players that don't belong in the league. They're playing players that can't play. They're playing players can't play because physically they're not able to play. I'm sorry. I don't know what the deal was.
Yesterday was embarrassing.
And it all goes back to what Jamie's theme is with everything. You have no farm system. You don't have anyone that you can call up and can play better than a guy that has one shoulder that's not working. Like, what are you doing? You put Bryce Harper in right field yesterday. The guy has one arm barely hanging on. He throws a ball from right field that it looked like, I felt like saying, oh, I didn't know you were left-handed. When he threw the ball right hand, he says, no, I'm right hand. Oh, sorry. Like, it's horrible. This is so bad. Scott Kingery, are you kidding me? And he comes out and says, I don't know what my role is. I was told I was going to get at bats down the minor leagues. How about if you just go get at bats at maybe a softball league? Like, this is ridiculous anymore. For Scott Kingery to think that this organization owes him something.
And he does. He obviously feels Scott Kingery feels from that damn contract that he arrived, he was a major leaguer. He's never been a major leaguer. He got paid like a major leaguer way before he ever was a major leaguer. and he never has performed to major league caliber. Period. Flat out.
Yeah. Yesterday was embarrassing. It was a tough watch. They need help. It's amazing they are where they are. They should be in last place with defensively how bad they are, how unclutched some guys are, just non-caliber Major League Baseball players. It's amazing that, you know, basically Wheeler, Eflin, and Nola, and Rhys Hoskins and Bryce have kind of carried you to this point.
Velasquez.
And Vinny's done a really good job. Yeah, he has.
It's been an embarrassment this season. And it's something I've worried about. It's Joe Girardi losing this clubhouse with some of the dumb moves he made. The fact that on Saturday night, when you pull JT Realmuto, and my first thought isn't an injury, it's...
Correct.
Oh, he's just pulling him because he does this all the time. I mean, I had a guy tweet at me and say, oh, you really think you do that? Yeah, he's pulled Rhys Hoskins how many games?
Yeah.
Correct.
You know, he makes these dumb decisions, you know, moving guys around the base pass. Scott Carey should be in AAA now. It's an embarrassment.
He pulled Segura when Segura was on a 7-for-9 streak in Philly.
Yeah.
In a double switch, the binders told him to do it, and he was 7-for-9 in a stretch, and he pulled him. In a series.
And he sounds like a guy in that clip that is coming apart at the seams.
He does.
Like that's completely lost it.
I never expected that.
No, neither. I don't think any of us did.
I did not expect. The last thing I ever expected to see him coming unglued. And yes, people are like, well, he's being very respectful. He was respectful to, you know. No, that's not respectful. When you tell somebody asking you a question about a confrontation in the dugout that went on during a Major League Baseball game between a manager and his player. Don't dare tell me that isn't a baseball question. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Pat makes a good point. Coming unglued at the seams, it appears. Here's what bothers me the most. You have guys playing that don't belong in the league, and then you have a guy down in the minors in Spencer Howard that's getting it done, and for some reason you have reluctance calling him up.
They're afraid.
Ridiculous. That's crazy.
He only threw 50 pitches yesterday.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it really is.
But he's there to stretch his arm out.
For 4 years?
Joyous. Oh, we've got Joyous and we've got Mess.
That's really what it is.
It is. It really is where we get started here on this Monday. And you're welcome to join us too at 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Jamie Lynch, in my opinion, may be being a bit premature in his evaluation that's coming up in the linchpin. We'll get to that debate next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I love that I got to see Nikki Foles this weekend when I was back home. Our puppy, we love her. She's a part of our family. She brings us a lot of joy. Well, Pets Plus Naturals knows that right now, dogs, look, at Pets Plus locations already, there's dogs available to be adopted to your loving home. And for the next few weeks, Pets Plus Natural wants to hear from you. Check out their Facebook page and in a post, let them know why you want to adopt a dog. They're going to select one lucky winner, and Pets Plus Natural will pick up all the adoption fees. Pets Plus wants every dog to be adopted to a loving home. And their mission? Not only help you take care of your dog in the healthiest way possible to ensure they're around for a long time, but to find happy homes for all the dogs that they've rescued. So you may know someone who recently lost a dog or a family that would love and cherish a dog in their home. Tell us about it. Go to the Pets Plus Facebook page and let them know. And they're going to choose one lucky family to adopt a dog of their choice. And Pets Plus is going to pick up the adoption fee. Go check out my friends at PetsPlusNatural.com. Nikki was so cute this weekend. So great to see her. Hey, go to PetsPlusNatural.com and see everything they've got to offer.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Hopefully your Monday is off to a spectacular start. We're having some fun, and we hope that you will continue to have fun and join us, too, if you wish, at 610-632-0975. You can hang out with Connor when you call on the phone. You can try to get onto the show. Mike directing on Twitch.tv and YouTube, and we got the whole crew here, and Coach has got everybody in line this morning. Mecole White says, Kincaid and Cooney are naive. Coaches don't talk about confrontations in the locker room or dugout. Y'all should know this. Bob, other than you were the only person that I would say is that has been in more locker rooms than I have or press conferences than I have that works on this show. You lived in it. You did this job.
Yeah.
You're naive, Bob. You're absolutely naive about this. A confrontation happens in a game where everybody sees it during a game, and you're naive, Bob, for expecting you know, Joe Girardi to be able to answer a question about it. That's naive.
You can say I'm not going to talk about it or whatever, but don't go the baseball route on me. Don't say
you're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
So dumb.
Something happened between the two of us. We worked it out. I'll keep it at that. We're good to go.
Yeah,
there's ways to handle things.
That's not a baseball question. What the hell's that?
Yeah, and Jim handled it great, and I liked his follow-up and all that, but I would have been like, okay, Joe, then let's not talk about the confrontation. Let's talk about the horrific defense that is not being played at a major league level. And what's going on there, Joe?
Jamie, I'm ready to raise my hand and say that this team's playing worse than they played under Kapler.
Probably because they're getting better starting pitching performances. Zach Wheeler is tremendously an upgrade over what Kapler had.
He's an ace.
Yeah.
He's ace-like.
Yeah, they probably are.
They're better. This is a worse product than Gabe Kapler presided over.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's got a real problem on his hands.
And Gabe Kapler did not have four starters that were giving you a chance to win night after night after night.
Yeah, and look, Didi and Bryce, my guess is they both go to the IL today or tomorrow.
How about JT?
Yeah, to be determined there.
Yeah.
They need help. Like, they don't have Major League Baseball players as it is already, and now you're losing three of your heart of the order? Woo!
Yeah, they entered that game with a spring training roster yesterday.
It was pathetic.
It was really embarrassing, and then they get behind, and the confrontation happens. I mean, Jamie's right. Joe Girardi has, you know, a big problem, but the big problem is in the mirror.
Can I... just yes. say a little thing that maybe
you could say a big thing if you
ticked
wish,
me
Bob.
Off.
Say
maybe,
it in your chest.
Maybe
Bob,
the most
gone.
Yesterday.
You can say a big thing.
Say you, Callum.
All right, ninth inning. Somebody hits a ball that could have tied the game, but it winds up being a foot and a half short off the wall. You know who I'm talking about? Odubel.
Yeah.
What does he do? Stands in the box and watches it, and it hits off the wall, and he doesn't get the second base. So now you have first and third. And you're down two runs with Bryce Harper up. If you bust your ass out of the box, you have second and third, and a single ties the game. But because you throw your bat and you watch the ball, and you are, dude, I don't know if you understand this or not, you're on the thinnest of thin ice here. And you pull that crap where you stand in a box and you don't bust your ass out of the box to get to second base where a single could tie the game? Cut his ass today. I'm not kidding you. I was screaming at the TV yesterday.
To.
I don't care. You can't afford not to. I'm not kidding you. I don't care if you put a dog out in center field.
Wow.
I don't
Air
Bud. Care.
Then are you cutting Segura?
Segura's
this player his entire career.
Odubel Herrera, I would have washed my hands of, and we've talked about right. that because of everything else. But if he doesn't understand you're on the thinnest of ice, and you hit a ball and you watch it in the box when you're down 10-7 or whatever it was, and you score one run, not realize I got to get on second base. Single means we're a tie game.
Correct.
I'm not kidding you. I would have cut his ass. I would have taken him out of the game then if I had any players.
Discover the benefits of a K-12 public cyber education. Commonwealth Charter Academy can provide your child or grandchild with an education in the safe confines of your home at no cost to you. Inquire today about fall enrollment. Visit ccaeducate.me today. Cousin Ryan checking in and saying, "Preach, Bob. Amen, brother."
Yeah, their biggest issue is
big
like
props,
fundamentals, and focus. Like, I don't believe they're as bad defensively and things like Bob just said. Like, that's all. That should be the most correctable stuff. What are you, Joe? You got to get a hold of your team, man.
Bob, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. The only thing I would say is though. You can't do the cut him today.
You can't.
Gene Segura could have been cut from the Phillies long ago. If lackadaisical play, Jimmy Rollins would have been cut from the Phillies long ago. If lackadaisical base running, lackadaisical decision making on the base paths and things like that, running stuff out hard, the Phillies have a reputation of accepting that as an organization, unfortunately. I understand with Odubel, it's a different guy, but the Phillies have a long-standing reputation of looking the other way on this stuff.
Yeah.
And I know how much you love J-Roll.
Yeah.
J-Roll had games, but he wouldn't do it like that.
I mean, Charlie Manuel did the two rules, and J-Roll broke him a few times, and it's understandable that that happens in a 162-game season. It's going to, but with the Odubel situation, the wind down in Dunedin had killed how many home runs throughout that series?
so many balls that people thought were gone. They weren't. The wind killed it. You're in the third game of a three-game series where you have seen at least three balls gotten killed by the wind, and you stand there
and admire. Admire.
I mean,
yes.
Come on, man.
You see Jimmy announce a new business venture this weekend?
No.
He's getting into the weed game.
Shocked.
Oh, that had been announced a while ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm floored.
But yeah, J-roll pre-rolls.
That's
get.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. So
that's completely
the J and the roll part.
That's completely out of nowhere.
Well,
I would never have expected that.
I mean, it fits because the J, the roll, I mean, you roll a blunt.
That's shocking to me.
Oh, if the Eagles had a football player named Blunt, you could probably have some fun with that.
Roll that blunt.
LeGarrette.
Yeah. LeGarrette. Bobby, you're good,
business
man.
Business ventures.
I never have seen that coming.
A roll of blunt,
wow,
man.
That's incredible.
This is good stuff.
Yeah. That's good. J-Roll. There we go.
You're welcome.
Good workout. All right, Bob, you saw something on the front page of ESPN.com, and you were going to give us a little quiz.
Yeah. All right, you ready for this? And everybody's
yeah, we're
gonna
ready nail
for it. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Front page of ESPN NBA page.
Don't pull it up, anybody. Play along with the game. Hey, Pat, don't be over there pulling it up.
Yeah, don't pull it, Pat.
Be looking at us. Eye contact.
Don't pull it up or out, Pat.
Eye contact.
I'm just staring at the NBA standings in front of me.
That read's coming up shortly.
Six players on their NBA preview page. Six players they have profiles, pictures of. Who are they?
James Harden.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I would not have started there.
I started with Harden.
You start with the obvious, which is LeBron.
Correct.
Okay.
I would say.
No, Pat, next.
I will go with Embiid.
Correct.
No. Oh, I did not think he was going to make it.
I did not think was going to be there.
Yep.
Giannis.
Correct.
I would say Kawhi Leonard.
Incorrect.
What?
Dame Lillard.
Incorrect.
Can't put a sixth seed.
Well, he's Dame.
Well, then, but
how many? How many we hit?
Steph
three?
Curry.
You've hit three.
Steph Curry.
Six. Steph Curry. Incorrect.
Whoa.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant, correct. So you have LeBron, Embiid, Giannis, and Durant. You're missing two.
Julius Randle.
No.
Really? Oh, my gosh. Where are they going?
Oh, I got one.
I got one, too.
Okay.
Go ahead. Luka?
No.
What is he, six seed?
Five, I think.
Jokic.
Jokic, correct.
Very good.
MVP.
Very
you're
good.
You're missing one, and you guys may not get him throughout the rest of the
show. It's got to be his Suns.
Nope.
No.
It's not Chris Paul.
Nor the moon.
Wow. I like Bob.
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
No, what'd you say?
LaMelo?
Who said Chris Paul?
I did.
Somebody
did.
Said it's not Chris Paul.
I said it's
you're
probably
right.
Not Chris Paul.
It's not Chris Paul.
Yeah, thanks.
See,
why would you do that,
doing
Bob?
That is just,
Jimmy Butler.
Who is it?
No.
Who is it?
Wait.
No,
we'll get it.
No, I don't like the guessing game.
What about Rudy Gobert?
That's not good radio.
No, we don't have to keep doing it. Let's just go on with the show.
John Stockton.
And as stuff comes to your head,
throw it out there.
Right team.
Boban.
Donovan Mitchell.
No.
Rudy Gobert.
What?
Rudy Gobert.
You're kidding
me. Get out of here, Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert's in the top four.
Stupid ESPN.
That is stupid. That is an intern did that.
How does he get it? He shut sports down.
Seriously.
Screw him.
He's going to lick your mic.
What are you looking at me for?
And that's not a euphemism.
How would you even bring this up, Bob?
Hey, Bob, you big jerk. Well, you be a jerk now. In the linchpin, I think Jamie Lynch is going to go out on a limb here that I don't think can support his weight.
This is the linchpin.
All right, hear me out. This isn't debating the success or failure of the process.
Sounds like the way you presented it, it is.
What I'm presenting to you is the process. You can debate all you want. You know, the horrible takes got resurfaced from the weekend of Mike Greenberg and Bomani Jones and Rick Bucher just from 8 months ago.
I got a personal thing from Bomani.
Oh, did you?
I called him out on the
thing. Oh, I tweeted him, too.
I got a personal thing.
His tweet was trash.
Bomani was not happy with
me. Yeah, Bomani's never happy. Just say you were wrong. It's okay.
I got a dude.
Yeah, you
dude
got dude
starting it.
Yeah.
Bomani's a crumb.
You know what's funny is? When
he's on my list.
When people put inflammatory things out on Twitter.
Yeah, and then
and then you respond to it publicly, and they know you.
Yeah.
So they think you're not supposed to respond to them publicly. What are you doing? Why do I have to respond like a fan?
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I'm not your fan.
So all us, you know, the process got debated all Saturday and Sunday morning on Twitter, it seemed like. And I'm not here to debate the process. I think it's a success with
then why did you invoke?
Well, what I'm going to you is they are fortunate to be here. They faced a lot of derailment. So you can argue success or failure all you want.
the flexibility that the process gave you made you kind of Kevlar. And because of that, it's a success to me. The fact you were able to overcome a failed number three pick in Jahlil Okafor, a trading and mortgaging of the future to go get Markelle Fultz, who barely ever played for you, to the Colangelo Burnergate scandal, to a horrific Al Horford contract in a misfitted roster last year, to be able to overcome those four things and still be standing here as the one seed, that proves that the flexibility of starting from nothing works. Because not many other organizations could overcome that many failures in a short time period and be standing as a one seed of their conference.
Your theory, I get it. And you articulating it sounds better. And we don't talk about these things. We sort of put them out there and then we don't talk about them until we're on the air. Your articulation of it, I give you credit for, is a lot better than I thought what it was going to be. But what I would say to you is you just tried to explain to me that there are multiple failures proves that something is a success. That's a flawed premise.
That they were able to overcome it. If you didn't start from scratch, you wouldn't have been able to overcome it. Like, if this happened to a Clippers, if they, you know, failed on massive free agent contracts and, you know, trading up to get a number one player that never played for you, they're toast. Most teams would be toast.
Bob, my theory is if you were in any way competent as an organization, you would have already had a parade.
You wouldn't
have. This team hasn't even won a second round series. They would have already had a parade if they had drafted well and made smart decisions.
With the process in place.
Yes.
Okay.
If you really paid off on the process, if the process paid off, you'd have already had a parade or at least, very least, an Eastern Conference championship or maybe two.
I'm not even saying it paid off yet.
Yeah, I think the two of you both have great points. I agree with you, John, that you could have even done a better job had, like, a Brian Colangelo not come in here and done what he did if you had drafted better. But that didn't happen, and you had setbacks because of the likes of Brian Colangelo. And Jamie's point is, in spite of that, you've been able to overcome it because of all that stuff. That's what the theme of the process was, right? That you're going to have access to do a whole bunch of things because of all the things that you're going to acquire that will allow you to do it. It's funny, though. The greatest things that they've done over the past couple of years have been aside from the process, and it's been Daryl Morey and Elton Brand.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, and Elton's becoming a great drafter, and he's got an eye for talent. It's just when you think, because I was appreciating this team yesterday. I'm like, you know, there they are. They're the one seed. For only the second time in my life, and to think about how much they overcame, this could have been derailed several times. So I'm just a little hat tip to the flexibility that the process brought you.
I guess my whole premise is all that they overcame shooting their stupid idiot self in the foot. They had all the advantages in the world thrown into their lap, and they kept shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
This thing should already have paid off minimum.
No.
Minimum with getting to the conference.
I mean,
minimum this team should already have been to an NBA Finals. Minimum with what they had in their
debatable.
Picks.
I mean,
they totally have blown things over and over
this
again.
This is when Joel Embiid is entering his. Everything hinges around him. Like, he's the crown jewel. This is when he's supposed to take that step. The NBA is. Cyclical. Like, you can go back and look, and it's like the guy's fifth year in the league is when they start taking this MVP finals. You know, LeBron, it took him 8 years. So I don't know if they are an NBA finals team before this.
They should have been.
You have to earn.
Drafted
it's
well.
A grown man league, and you have to earn it. Like, even if you have Jason Tatum here somehow and Ainge doesn't take him one, I don't even know if they're a finals team still.
They would have won a second round series.
Probably.
So, I mean, at least this is they've shot themselves in the foot to not be where they should be.
The Markelle Fultz draft pick is the one that sticks out to me because if he doesn't go and get his shot broken by an AAU coach and then all of a sudden mentally come unwound, then they probably are. You know, I mean, the Kristaps move, like, I look at the Kristaps move of not drafting him as okay, but it led to Ben Simmons.
Correct.
Because if you add Chris Stapps, you're a decent team at least, enough to win some games. But the Markelle Fultz one's a killer to me.
I think, Jamie, I think your premise is fine. I mean, it's fine. I disagree with it, but I think you articulate it very well.
Oh, well, thank you.
You articulate it very well.
And that articulation was brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets.
You sound smart, but in essence, you're stupid.
No, I think the premise is flawed. I think the argument is well framed. His point of view is well framed.
Yeah.
I believe there are people desperate in this town. Desperate to try to say, yeah, I was right all along. It was great to lose for 5 years on purpose. I was right all along. See?
Wait, in this town or in this country?
In this town.
Or in this world?
In this town. City, town.
My point is, like, that's literally everywhere.
Dying to just go.
I was right.
On this topic, it is just waiting in the weeds to go, see, I was right all along. I said this was the right thing to do.
Because a lot of those people took a lot of crap from the national media and otherwise.
They should. Because nobody had ever done that.
But he said he was doing it. Jones want to sit there and pound their chest.
As I say to Bomani, don't jump out. You know, I mean, don't jump out strategically. And just, it's okay to take a loss. Bomani could have put up and said, could have responded with, I'll wait and see when you have the parade.
Sure.
Give me a call.
But I think
by the way, that is exactly the advice that I gave. I would have said, okay, you're throwing this tweet back at me now. When you have a parade, give me a call. Because by the way, without a parade, it didn't work.
I think it can be a success without a parade. Unfortunately, people don't want to hear that.
But they can't.
If you have a 4 or 5 year window where you're making NBA finals-esque runs every year, it's a success. It really is.
Nobody thought that about Andy Reid. So what are you talking about?
The NFL and the NBA are too hard to compare.
What are you talking about?
You can't guarantee a championship.
You can't guarantee a championship.
You can ask for a chance and a window of sustainability.
And it wasn't good enough for Andy Reid in this town.
I mean, he got 13 years.
But it wasn't good enough. Fans weren't happy with it.
Well, because we saw the same crap over and over again.
It wasn't good enough to not win a championship. It's not going to be good enough that this team.
It's about having a chance.
This team to win a championship, it's not a success.
And if they have a large window at several chances, it's a success.
No.
The only reason I disagree, James, is because of the depths that you went to. And if you go to those depths of the likes you've never seen before in pretty much all of sports, then the ultimate goal has to be reached. And the ultimate goal is a championship.
That's the goal.
No.
I just don't think it's a failure if you don't get it.
You're going to extreme failure. Okay, I hear you. Most people would say failure, no title.
No. Failure does not mean it's a failure. If this team gets three bites at the apple and doesn't win a championship and someone calls the process a failure, they're an idiot.
Yes, that's my point.
But the thing is, you're taking it failure. You can't call it a success.
Well, you said a championship
you can't call it a success till you have that parade. You can call it, if you call it a failure, I think you're an idiot.
I'm calling the philosophy of it a success, not the results.
The results is all that matters. Sports is all that matters is results. It doesn't matter philosophy.
But yeah.
We don't celebrate philosophy. We don't talk philosophy.
Philosophy is what helps get you to titles.
Yeah, but you have to win the title to be a success.
But you can't guarantee it.
I can't. You're
Nobody
right.
can.
But you don't get to call it a success unless you win one.
I do.
Say, well, you can say it was a...
If it gave me the best decade of Sixers basketball I've seen and probably will see in my life, then it's a success.
If you get three bites at the apple for a championship with this club, they get to the NBA finals or conference finals, they're knocking on 3 years in a row, and anyone calls it a failure, they're an idiot, I believe. That's an idiot.
Right.
But if you call it a success, I will also call you an idiot. Because it's not. This has to produce a parade.
I slightly disagree.
The Sixers had an era that I've seen in my lifetime, and many listeners to this show have, where they didn't have to go and do this stuff.
The 80s?
To try to win. No, 70s and 80s.
Well, anyway. it's an entirely different league now, and I didn't even get to smell that. So.
And they got one. Yeah, but it's... If you just because you didn't smell it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah, but it was a totally different league.
You know, here's where Jamie's right, and a lot of the people listening that were Sam Hinkie fans and all that are right in that Hinkie's thing, he never promised you a championship.
No.
And he was very careful with that. He said, what we're going to do with what we're doing and going to these levels of badness is to bring you a championship contender for sustained years. So in that aspect, on Jamie's, now I agree. I think it has to bring a championship. But in processors, people's mind, and people that agreed with Sam Hinkie and all, this is exactly what he promised.
An executive who I hire, who tells me and tells my fan base and tells my ticket buying public, our goal is not to win championships.
He didn't say that.
No. I'm not. This isn't being done to win championships. I got an issue with.
But they didn't say that.
What did they say?
They said that they were going to contend for championships for many years.
I understand.
They didn't say we're not going to win them.
No, but I'm saying is that's got to be, the goal is to win championships.
Sure. And
that's the goal.
And he understands that.
That's the goal.
But, all you can ask for is a puncher's chance.
And if this team gets three chances to win a championship, and anybody calls it a failure, they're an idiot.
Sure.
But you can't call it a success.
I will.
Got to win a title.
I hear you.
Got to win a title.
It's just a slight disagreement.
Because
fair weather idiots.
Because Andy Reid, it wasn't good enough for Andy Reid. In this town, it was never.
But the NFL and the NBA they're apples and oranges.
I goofed.
If they lose to
13 years in the NFL is the equivalent of like 28 years in the NBA.
I'm talking about the bites at the apple. Andy Reid getting all those bites at the apple wasn't good enough for this town. I appreciated it, but it wasn't. Anyone wasn't going yet. What was the success? If he had won a Super Bowl, he never would have gotten fired.
No,
he would have got. He'd probably still be here. If
probably
one with all that he's done. Hey, you can share a thought on that too. 610-632-0975. Good job, Jamie. That was fun. Hey, a strength of opposition quarterbacks. It's a analysis that usually tells you whether you're going to have a good fall or bad. We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. Look, growing up, I loved cereal. Cereal doesn't love me though, with all the sugars and all the fat and all the calories. But now Magic Spoon has entered our lives. And Coach, Magic Spoon is one where you preach the gospel of goodness.
Been handing it out all morning to Bob had some, Connor had some. And John, you know what? A lot of people actually think that if you're eating something that is good for you, that it's not going to taste good. And Magic Spoon is good for you. It's got 0 grams of sugar, 14 grams of protein, 4 net grams of carbs, 140 calories per serving. And for people like me who are watching their carb intake, it's keto friendly, but it's really good also.
There you go. And that's what's good for you, too. And you have all those great things. You can get a variety pack with cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. It's going to bring joy to your mornings and even your afternoons. Coach eats this stuff all day long. Grab a variety pack. Go to magicspoon.com/Kincaid. Magicspoon.com/Kincaid. Grab a variety pack today. Use the promo code Kincaid. You're going to save $5. Get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal. Magicspoon.com/Kincaid. Tell them I sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. What happened to the crew? They all kidnapped Connor? Did somebody grab them on the streets?
Got to put a ABVL.
Where are you guys? Where is everybody? It's Egan's not there. We have Reed's. We have all this stuff.
Nobody told me about the Reed.
You have a Reed's.
Coffee machine's, six miles away.
Oh, my gosh. Bob takes everybody. The Pied Piper takes the whole
thing. The Keurig machine. It has to heat up for Bob every time. Jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
I had the wrong time.
Bob, that's a bad process on your part.
I'm sorry. No one told you about the Reed?
No.
That's a bad process.
I didn't get in your ear and say you have props off on the back end?
Nope.
You're a liar.
Nope.
Bad process.
I ignored you.
Bad process on your part is what I would say. 7 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show, starting very feistily, starts thanks to our friends at the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. All right. The strength of opposition quarterbacks has proven to be a great indicator of future NFL season success. Or maybe apparently helping you avoid failure. John Clayton, the professor, formerly of ESPN, did a study spanning more than a decade of how many playoff appearance type quarterbacks you face in a season. Meaning, quarterbacks who have led teams to the playoffs before, and then quarterbacks that have won playoff games before. So what he puts it as is winning playoff games, not only getting there, but winning there. and that that's the most consistent indicator of a season for you ending in a playoff appearance. If you're facing 50% of your schedule or more is quarterbacks who have made the playoffs and won, you tend to be in a dark position. It tends to be a very, very difficult trek for you. So how does it look for the Eagles this year? Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, Dak Prescott twice, Patrick Mahomes, Brady, and Goff. That's seven of your 17 games. After the eighth game of the season, only one of your last nine games is against a quarterback with playoff experience wins on their resume. History would indicate by John Clayton, and he used to do this study every year on SportsCenter and in print, and you can go back and you can read some of them from previous years of the professor. It tends to be something, and he does an interesting thing where he goes back and looks at it, goes back and checks it out and says, okay, last year, here are the teams that faced this many playoff-winning quarterbacks before that year. How did their seasons turn out? I'm here to tell you, Jamie has been one who has pushed us all on, you know, this season may not be as bad as some of you gloom and doomers think it's going to be. John Clayton's formula would tell you that the Eagles have 7 of 17. That's pretty good for the Eagles standpoint. And if you're talking about one of your last nine being against quarterbacks that have won a playoff game, that maybe makes it even better. And so maybe this season ends up like Jamie Mumphrey has told us it's going to end up. It's not going to be as bad as a lot of people want to think.
Billy Mumphrey was a cockeyed optimist.
And that's where we begin this.
It'll still be bad,
hour.
Just not that bad.
But no, and that's your point all along.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
I think they'll be competitive in a lot of games.
But it's not going to be as bad as the gloom and doomer thinks it is. The guy like me who thinks 5-12.
Yeah, I think more 6 or 7 and,
okay, right.
You know,
and,
10.
And to me, 6 or 7 is a big difference as far as how you look at a season.
Yeah.
And but your point of view, this is another thing that points to you that the schedule's not that bad.
It's not. You know, you're always going to have some heavy hitters. You know, that's unavoidable in the NFL. The division is what it is. I think Dallas should run away with it this year. But I feel like people say that every year. And, you know, stranger things have happened. They still have a, you know, really bad defense. So, you know, they're going to not be a dominant team either. Washington's got a good defense. New York's kind of middle of the pack. So there's some wins there in the division you can take. And then there's some, you know, Raiders and Lions and some teams that you can handle. And, you know, I'm not telling anybody they're going to be a playoff team, but I think this offense has some firepower behind it. And I think it'll be a little more fun than some are anticipating.
You didn't read the column this weekend, did you, John? Marcus Hayes. He did the win-loss thing.
No, he didn't.
Guess how many wins he came out with?
8.
7.
Egan?
7.
12.
What? No, he did not.
Marcus. The Eagles can win. Here's the headline. The Eagles can win 12 games. No, seriously.
That's a good headline.
Now, Marcus, your column should read the Eagles could win 17 games.
Yeah.
Because they could.
Now.
They might not, but they could.
12-5?
Seriously, could columns now?
Well,
could?
I can.
I mean, come
on. Yeah, I mean, no, it wasn't one of those bleep columns.
12 are winnable games for the Eagles?
It was outlook of, well, if this happens, if that happens, if this happens. You know, I've done those columns. It's a tongue-in-cheek type of thing. But when I read it and he went down every game and put win-lose, I thought of you. Had I known you not read it, I would have sent it to you down
in
Atlanta.
I did not read it. I didn't on the
good,
plane.
Because you know what? You shouldn't have. Because when you go away for the weekend,
I did.
Little fatherly advice here.
And it was good.
Forget
that's
us.
And that's absolutely
forget everything
what,
here.
That's what,
get off Twitter.
Until I get on the plane.
It's you too.
Until I get on the plane.
That's you.
Let's, you know, go and do the,
no, yeah,
you know, and
that's
do
good,
that
cause
and
I,
move it.
And it's funny because as many times as I text you normally during weekends just to see what's up, what you're doing, when I remember that you're home.
Philly time.
I put my phone down. I'm like, no.
By
I'm
the
not
way,
texting
though,
John, he doesn't want to hear from me.
I'm not happy with you. Going back to Long Mass. I've gotten used to St. Coleman's.
Oh, they do.
St. Cole, I
whole homily down in Atlanta.
Oh man, Father Ames is like
Station of the Crosses
four
every Sunday.
No, 4 o'clock mass. 4 o'clock mass comes Saturday afternoon. By 4:37, Bob, you and I could be down at McShay's having a cold draft or around the corner. I'm like Monsignor. Seriously, I'm walking out of church Sunday, going, dude. You're going 35 more minutes.
So we had this priest when I was a kid, an altar boy, that would have the longest homilies ever, right? So I'm on the altar, and my dad was the, what do you call it? The
usher?
Guy, no, the guy that does the readings.
A lector.
He's
a lector.
So he's sitting over on his thing. He's also on the altar. So Father Hughes is going on and on and on, and I glance over at my dad, and I'm like, oh my God, he's asleep. Swear to God, the most panicked I've ever been as a kid. I was probably in sixth grade. And I'm like, holy cow, this priest is going to get done. My dad's supposed to get up and speak, and I'm waiting for him to snore.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, what do I do? My sixth grade mind,
did
I was so
drop
proud
a book on the ground?
No. He was too far away from me. Like, he was about 30 feet away. So I looked, and I grabbed a missalette.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up and walked over, and I gave it to my dad, and he wasn't asleep.
Oh.
And he looked at me like,
what
get
are you
the
doing?
Bleep away
oh,
from me
no.
in the middle of mass. And I put my head down. And then the priest stopped his homily and kind of looked at me like,
geez.
Why are you walking around while I'm speaking? So I became the horse's ass.
Oh, but my gosh. That is
I tried.
Terrible.
I was just protecting my dad.
That is terrible.
Yeah.
I love that Jamie's theory looks like it can play out.
Yeah, look, Vegas set the line kind of right there. I believe
6.5.
6.5. They're gonna win. I think they're gonna be in games. I don't think that they're a railroad team. Like, even if you play a Chiefs, I don't think it's gonna be like a 42-13 game. I think they'll hang for some of these tough games, and some of the coin flip games. I think they'll win.
With the utmost respect to Marcus Hayes and his insights on life, that if he looks at that schedule and believes there are 12 winnable games, 12 games they can win, I'd say that is asinine.
Hey, give it a read. I'll give it a shot. I think they're going to be fun to watch this year.
As long as it's tongue-in-cheek,
yeah, I think it is. I think they're going to be fun to watch this year.
I think offensively they're going
to
be...
I'm excited to watch them.
It's new.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be 8 games in. Oh, I don't even want to watch. What am I doing 1 o'clock on Sunday? I'm going to go cut the lawn or so. I don't think it's going to be
seasons.
No, I think it's hopefully that'll be good news. So.
Yeah.
Hey, whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. So you can check that out. In Cooney's Corner, he said he's never seen this in his lifetime.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I've seen some really bad Philly seasons, as we all have. I've probably seen a couple of more because I'm like 2 or 3 years older than Jamie, yeah. So I've seen a couple
more often than not, they're bad years.
Yeah, but I'm not kidding you when I say I've never seen anything like that, like this. I mean, games where guys that totally don't belong. I'm not saying a game here and there where you're looking at a guy saying, why is he here? This has been going on for most of the season. And, John, what did you say? We're a quarter of the way through now?
Yeah, quarter of the way through now. Yes.
And they you're continuously it. Putting guys out there that don't belong. You have so many injuries. Again, why is this a theme to another Philadelphia team? Yesterday, you had 2 and 3 guys go out of one game.
Yeah.
You have guys that are going to...
In baseball. Guys don't get injured in baseball.
And it's weird stuff. Like, they brought Bryce Harper into the game, and the announcers were saying, I guess Kingery's hurt? I mean, this is where you are. Bryce Harper shouldn't have played yesterday.
No.
So you have all that. You have the Scott Kingery's, let alone an 8th-round overall pick that said, you know what, guys, I got to leave for a month. I got to go be me.
First round, 8th overall.
Right, 8th overall pick.
Because life is so demanding.
I've never seen anything like this with this organization. I can't understand what's going on. And yet, they're a game over 500,
they're
41 games.
Club, yeah.
I mean that's the emotion that a 500 team elicits. But to me, it's unbelievably amazing that all the things that I just laid out, and this team is still 500. And I'm not saying that it's a great thing. I'm saying, what the hell is wrong with baseball that a team like this, such dysfunctional team,
can hang around?
It's 21-20.
It's the starting pitching.
Yeah.
It's their
That's how good the top three have
been. By the way, they're third in Major League Baseball in innings pitched by their starting pitchers.
How bad is baseball?
Yeah. Seriously. No, but
Pretty mediocre.
Yeah, but the Phillies' starting pitching has been impressive.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, the best hire they had was Caleb Cotham.
He's done a
tremendous job with this rotation. Well,
they attacked the strike zone differently than they did.
They do. I mean, I think it was Eflin talked about how previously they wanted them to pitch up, and he was like, no, I'm a sinker ball pitcher.
Yeah.
And he struggled with it. A lot of them did. Like, if you look at what Nick Pivetta is doing this season in Boston, Cole Irvin in Oakland, like, they're actually pitching pretty well. So you go, okay, what's the common denominator? Well, they were in Philadelphia under bad pitching coaches.
If I'm the Phillies and I know how this sounds, I'm pulling a little major league. I'm not going to the California Penal League. I'm going to the Mexican Baseball League, and I'm saying, hey, Cespedes, you're still only 31 years old. Here's a couple bucks.
Come on over.
What harm is there in doing that? Because
I think I've been told before there's a lot of worries about what the guys do down in the
Mexican League.
About do you pay them?
Yeah.
Then you bring them, and then
at least I know.
Out. Unless you can drug test people and stuff, and
sure,
you can do
but
all that stuff.
If all that clears or whatever,
I don't know that a guy would sign a contract though if you made him. How desperate are you?
We're pretty desperate.
Exactly.
I mean, have you seen Scott Kingery throw a baseball?
He's so terrible.
Brad Miller can't play left field.
Okay. The bad thing is
you need literal bodies.
How did they ever look at Scott Kingery?
I don't know. That's Matt Klintak's stain.
And just said, you know what? He has everything. The kid's got everything. No, he didn't. He never did.
They thought he was going to be Dustin Pedroia, and he is not.
Yeah, well, here's where my concern more goes to he never did, was he kind of did when he hit 22 home runs in a season. What has changed that you've become so... 22
well, no,
home runs in a season.
Everybody learned to pitch to him.
Once they learned
to pitch to him, he had no plan B. And a lot of guys come up and first time through major league, they'll play. I would tell you that Scott Kingery had 45, 50 good game stretch. But once the book was out on Kingery, he did not read his own book on himself.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It'd be great for him if he said to you know buddies on other teams in Major League Baseball, if he's got them, to say, how do they prepare you for me? What do they say? What are they saying in the scouting report? What do they say? Because if he can't figure it out himself,
yeah,
it's just
well,
terrible.
That's right. You have the second baseman of the future anyway. Now
you hope you do.
In Maton.
Oh, you hope
love
you.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I look, Kingery, and I'm a huge Kingery fan. He needs to be in AAA. I mean, I've never seen an organization
I'd go double A.
That's fine, whatever. He needs to be
just
getting
get him out of here.
Getting, AA, I think competition's better.
He needs to be getting every day at bats because. I've never seen an organization take infielders and make them outfield. Like, Brad Miller's not an outfielder. Let's put him in left field. Scott Kingery's not an outfielder. Let's put him in the right. And then you wonder why they look like butchers in the outfield. Well, they're not outfielders. But this organization goes, well, let's put this guy here and move around. Like,
it's because they don't have a
first base.
farm system.
That's why I do not want... That's
you don't need a farm system. You just need a bench outfielder. Like, every team in the league
you should be
has
able
a
to
guy on the bench who can play
Roman
the outfield.
Quinn.
That's why I do not want anybody touching Maton and putting him in the outfield.
No.
Don't
that's
do
fine.
It. Shut your mouth. I mean...
You should be able to go to your minor league system for some spot starts from a corner outfielder, and they got squat.
I told you a couple weeks ago, I don't care if I have to pay money. I'm getting rid of Segura, and I'm getting some kind of center fielder. I'll pay his contract. I'll pay the difference. But Segura, all right, he hit a couple. Some team can use a guy that hits you 280 from
money.
Second base. I'll pay some of his contract.
But Bobby's too much money, and he's a guy that is known in baseball for being exactly what he is with Joe Girardi.
That's all right. Give me a double-A center fielder that's better than anything you have right now.
Oh, man. Paying someone to go away, though. I mean, it might be in the
yeah. Way. His contract, guys.
Oh my gosh!
I'm sorry.
A terrible contract.
I'm done.
It's a terrible contract.
It's three more years of 14-14-17.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Yikes.
And again, a Phillies contract where the Phillies bid against themselves. They bid like the real Muto thing. Well, we're going to go five. We're going to go 5 years. Nobody in baseball was biting on more than. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Maybe they should.
You're bidding against yourself.
Maybe they should have went 5 years. Everybody in baseball, because you look at the Mets having James McCann right now, and that's a joke. The Mets would be way better if they had paid JT Realmuto what he was asking.
But they didn't. They went bargain bin shopping, and that's what they get.
We're going to find out.
Stupid.
We will find out again.
Love it.
When we see what the contract plays out to be. The Phillies' history of signing long-term contracts is not good. They have a very poor history. And more importantly, you don't go, when you're buying the house, you don't walk up and the realtor goes, yeah, they're asking, you know, they're asking $300 for this house. We haven't had a lot of offers. Nobody else has come up. It's been on the market for 3 weeks. And they go, no. I'm paying you $420.
No, you
well,
do.
Well, wait a minute. Wait,
do if it's a good school district?
No, you pay $300.
Taxes are low?
No, there's no other bids.
Where were you when I bought my house a few months ago?
Pay what they're asking. If there's no bidding war, just pay.
Is there going to be a DH next year?
There will be.
Don't worry about it.
I don't think there's going to be. I'm not sure we're going to see baseball this time next year.
Yeah, you're set on that December 1st.
We already know. You already know December 1st what the topic of the show is. Baseball's locking down. And I think the owners are locking down their sport.
They're going to lose a lot of the remaining fans they have.
They said that, and every work stoppage in baseball, they have come back and exceeded what they had before.
Did you guys happen to see
temporarily
Nick Castellanos, the outfielder?
It was awesome.
/ third baseman.
It's on the show sheet, Pat.
It's on there. You don't want to. Make sure you review.
Even though Jamie was.
Yes, we've never talked about stuff before the show sheet. We get to it.
It's going to be a
just ruin the show. Thanks, Pat.
I looked at some of our.
Our perfect show just ended.
Oh, no, it ended at 7 o'clock. Some of the YouTubers and thoughts here, Mike's brought it up here. He says that, let me see here. Ocam's Truth and Wisdom. Say, John is continuously wrong when he said no one's ever done the process before. Yes, they have, John, all the time. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Teams tank. They didn't process.
Teams tank. You can tank. In a short term, nobody. I don't
Spurs
have
Spurs tanked for Tim Duncan.
Once my team is eliminated from playoff competition, I hope they lose every game.
Yeah.
When the Eagles are a bad, like let's say the Eagles are bad in October, I will be looking to be entertained with young players on Sunday afternoon. But I hope they come out with a loss in the loss column.
Yeah.
Every single.
Hey, Davion Taylor, you're playing every single down. Get out there, kid.
And I want to see what they can do.
Yeah.
I want to evaluate young players, and I want to lose. And I want them to lose 30-28.
Yeah.
I want to lose 34-31. And I'll smile every single Monday saying, draft night's going to be great.
Yeah. Tanking does happen, but
like the Sixers did. Nobody ever did.
They did it. Honest to God, in my lifetime, I've never seen it.
Nobody's ever done that.
OKC's getting close.
And Truth and Wisdom said, they are getting close.
Yeah.
And the thing is, to have all those number one picks, now it's capital, as they see. But I look at a guy like Daryl Morey who clearly from his draft, his running organizations, he doesn't value the draft picks as much as everybody else does. It doesn't appear.
If you have the piece, yeah, which is key for him.
You got right.
And he had the piece in Houston, so.
I'll go get.
Whatever it takes to supplement him.
Correct.
Is how we'll do it.
You know, and it's
several ways to skin a cat, as they say.
And again,
that's
why are
saying,
people
right?
skinning cats?
Yeah, I never got that. That's sick.
Why would people skin cats?
Why, Bob?
It sounds like a serial killer.
PETA doesn't say that.
Why are you looking at me for that answer?
Yeah,
I'm just wondering.
Pat.
What, you look at me and say, there's a guy who skins cats?
I look at you, I say, you're a cat skinner.
I mean, I have a cat.
Cat Burl.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Which is the greatest.
Thought the cat was a boy for 2 years, and we found out it was a girl.
How'd get pregnant?
No. We, long story, too long for the air, but.
Slotted around the neighborhood.
Well, you can make it really fast.
Basically,
how did you not know the sex of your cat?
Because the cat got, quote unquote, the cat got out. We got a call from a shelter saying, we were away, and we got a call from a shelter saying, we have your cat. And we were like, how did the cat get out? And she remembered when she bought the cat, there was a boy and a girl. So she went, wait, did they switch cats? Because the cat that got out might have been the wrong cat.
Oh.
We took it to the vet, and they were like, yeah, it's a girl. You idiots.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't need that story.
It still was.
Jamie,
good.
Do me a favor. Go shut your mic off and pound sand.
Boys have penises. Girls have vaginas.
That's true.
Cats?
Yeah.
What do cats have?
I don't
know. Nipples.
Cats have nipples.
Eight of them.
Right. Does the boy cat have the eight nipples?
I don't know.
I don't think they do, do they?
I'm a cat, that's John. Can you milk me?
I didn't think a boy cat about $2.
You didn't milk your cat, Pat?
I didn't think boy cats had the nipples.
You think you're excited? Feel these nipples.
I didn't think a boy cat.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
I thought a boy cat would not have as many of the nipples.
Do we have to break anytime soon?
I don't like cats.
We've reached the part of the show where we're breaking down cats' nipples.
I'm not a cat person. By the way, there is a cat in the garage where the girls are living. In the parking garage, there is a cat Dodger. The girls have named the cat Dodger.
So it stabs people.
It's a stray cat that has now been somebody abandoned when they moved out of their apartment.
The
cat lives in the
friendly
garage.
Friendly cat?
Oh, it's beautiful. But Olivia knows she can't have a cat because dad's allergic.
Mm.
And famously, when she was a little kid, she wanted to have a cat. And she said, Mom, can we get a cat? And she goes, we can't. Your dad's allergic. And Olivia, in like first grade, goes, when dad dies, can we get a cat? So I swear to you, I will have it in my will.
No cats.
No, that when I die, I want somebody to present my daughter with a cat. Because it's a story that she's been told. Dad, I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah.
Honey, you're in first grade. But it's a funny story, so I like it. All right, we got a lot coming up for you with 25% complete. Boy, this Phillies roster is just horrible. And Jamie Lynch says somebody's got a monkey on their back in the NBA. Who is it? We'll find out next on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Hey, Window Nation, they take care of you when it comes to cost and quality. Because Window Nation has got you covered. They're going to save you thousands more on your windows compared to national brands. While they're going to provide you the same, if not better, quality. How do they do it? Well, Window Nation measures each window 3 times. Ensuring you proper fit. And after they install the windows, they're not going to leave your house a mess. They're going to clean it up beautifully. But here's the deal. Here's where I want you to call at 866-90-NATION. For the next 2 years, you've put no money down, you've made no payments, and you've paid no interest. But you've gotten 2 free windows for every 2 that you buy. 2 free windows for every 2 that you buy. And you haven't put any money down, you haven't made any payments, you haven't paid any interest for 24 months. So in 2023, they'll knock on your door and say, okay, it's time to start paying, but you've been enjoying the benefits for 2 years. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Tell them I sent you. My folks at Window Nation, they're the perfect fit.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Still haven't gotten an answer on the mail cats. Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download it today at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code FANATIC.
Well, men and women have the same amount of nipples, so maybe, yeah, maybe
cats,
not.
But cats have more.
Well, cats they feed litters.
They feed litters, and I thought they had more.
Male and female cats have nipples, and cats have 6, and some cats have 8. It depends on the cat.
So it doesn't matter. Males could have 6 and 8?
Correct.
Okay. See, I'm not a cat person.
I just became one in the past couple years.
Something
I'm learning.
If you go for the teat on a male cat, what happens, though? Are you disappointed if you're a little kitten?
I would imagine.
Yeah, right. Coach, answer that. Yeah.
Coach, you don't have the answer to that one, do you?
Yeah. Well, we all
seems
have
like
nipples.
Wasted nipples to me.
Do you have Bill Nye the Science Guy in there? Is that science?
Nipples are science, yeah.
That's the sound
science
of the week right there.
Yeah, science. It's science.
We all have nipples. Why wouldn't a male cat have nipples?
I'm telling
you. Yeah.
8 of them?
That is awesome.
Seems a waste.
Yeah.
The real question is, why don't chicken breasts have nipples when you buy them in the store?
I mean...
That's the question.
Because they're skin.
I can't believe we're breaking this down.
I'm saying it's a chicken breast and it doesn't have a nipple.
What show was this? 97? Show 97? It took 97 shows for us to get to the cat nipple part of the show.
It's always in the playbook. Pat, it was always in the playbook.
It's an evergreen.
It's the Philly special.
It's evergreen.
Yeah, cat nipples
it's
are
our Mount Rushmore.
It's a Mount Rushmore.
It's a lazy topic we'll bring up on Slow Days.
That's a great one. So I asked people, you know, it's like, give me ideas about what you know. We'll get to those things. We're going to get to some of the questions coming up with Jamie Lynch and the Lynchpin. But with 41 games in, you are now 25% of the Phillies season. If I had said to you, take everything out that you've seen, I need you to do a brain wipe right now. So brain wipe. If I had told you
it's not hard.
That the Phillies would be 21-20 through their first 41 games, on opening day, You taking it, Bob?
Honestly, I'm saying, yeah, that's who they are. 500 teams.
Yeah, I would probably be okay with that.
Pat, 21-20.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Same with me.
Amazing, isn't it?
So it is. So, I mean, is that's the only bit of just anything in the Phillies' defense that I'm going to do is that.
I'm amazed they're there.
Is that, like, the Braves right now are below 500.
Yeah.
The Braves were below 500 at the same point last year. And they went on, in 19, and they went on to win 97 games. So it's small sample size. That's why making any grand proclamations on baseball too early is a problem. But the first 25% of the season really blew by. It really did. But now you've got the Real Muto nagging injuries, Harper and his list of maladies. What is D.D. Gregorius? Things are looking rather bleak. And before you say go get someone, who is exactly that you think you can get, and what are you going to spend to get them? Like, where do you think you're getting? You don't have the prospects to land the best of the big fish. Maybe anything is better than what they've got now, though, in spots, so maybe you need to start fishing for little fish. I keep hearing this Chris Bryant stuff. Chris Bryant is a free agent. And Chris Bryant, you are not going to... The teams that could have a chance to go and acquire Chris Bryant, because it appears the Cubs will not sign him. So they have no interest in signing him, so they're going to ditch him at some point here, try to get something for him. Which, by the way, should be major whoop, whoop, whoop red siren flag for you about why they're so intent on saying, yeah, we're done with Chris Bryant. We're okay with this. What you think, if Chris Bryant's on the open market... What prospects are you throwing out there? I asked people the other day on my Twitter feed last week. Tell me the prospects you think are getting Chris Bryant from the Cubs. People were tossing me. They're going to take Rhys Hoskins and Gene Segura, and I'm like, no, that's not what the Cubs are going to do. They don't want to pay Chris Bryant, who's a better player than the people you're telling me the Phillies are going to use to go get Chris Bryant. They're not going to take. Well, I think you start it with Rhys and then you throw it, you know, Gene Segura could. I'm like, no, they're not doing that. If they don't want to pay a guy like Chris Bryant, who still has upside, they're not going to take players who appear to have reached their upside.
No, but two of your top 10 prospects play the same position in shortstop with Ethan Martin and Bryson Stott. So you start there, you probably throw in a Mick Abel, and then, you know, yeah, hope and
Why
pray.
Why would you do that, though, when you have a hole at shortstop?
Because you'll keep one of them. You'll protect either one of Casey Martin or Stott, and then you still have your youth there.
But you could can't... What? Which
I'm
one,
grasping
which,
at straws. They don't have
one
much.
Of them, though, can, which one of them can play third?
I think Casey third, Martin, as they third. Said, it can
so
play
I
third.
So I would be saying, I'm keeping them both, and I'm getting Rhys Hoskins out of here, or DHing with Rhys Hoskins.
But then
Hoskins.
You're removing... And I mean, Bohm, look, it's
no,
Chris Bryant.
No, Alec Bohm goes to first base.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking to take on mega... it makes no sense as far as... They're not going to take that when you've got answers. If you got two guys in your prospects that can both play the left side of the infield... Now, both of them are more comfortable at shortstop.
Yeah.
So, but you got two guys who can play the left side. Alec Bohm is not an everyday third baseman for his career. Put him... He'll be your first baseman. And then you've got... You got something cooking. Bohm, Maton... And two of your top prospects on the left side? Well, that's what, you got something cooking there that, by the way, I'm more interested in coming to the ballpark and seeing that than
so
what they're showing
yeah,
us
yeah, commit to something if you're the Phillies, right?
Yes.
If you want to commit to the farm system, commit to it. If you want to keep signing, if you want to sign people to huge contracts and then not have the ability to, oh my God, get an everyday center fielder, well, then that's what you're stuck with. But you have to commit to one or the other. And I'm more apt, and I think we probably all are, John, what you just laid out, to committing to the younger players and let's go.
And to me, I know that I'm the oddball on this, or at least I think I am. Egan, you may be with me. I love watching a young team come together. And I don't care if they win 70 games, lose 92, if I'm seeing young players making their bones, learning it, and I'm seeing improvement, and I'm seeing guys come along.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm with you. I was thinking about this the other day, and by the way, if you the Chris Bryant stuff's ridiculous, but if you do
it's
it,
absurd.
If you do it, Alec Bohm's got to be in the deal. He
exactly.
has to be.
He'd be
so
in the
deal.
So
there's really no talking point. But I was thinking about, it was so refreshing that Alec Bohm was allowed to just come up and play. They didn't really sit him against lefties or righties, and it wasn't a situation. It was like, okay, you're here. You're going to play every day. I loved it because it seems like too often than not, they don't allow these kids to just grow with the growing pains. You have to baby and coddle, and they're doing it right now with Spencer Howard. You know, and even the broadcast is starting to question some of the moves. They're like, yesterday, Tom McCarthy, or it was one of the, either Kruk or McCarthy said, wait, he's down there to stretch out his arm and he's only throwing 50 pitches?
Tom McCarthy, I believe, said that.
It was like, what the hell are we doing
and
here?
By the way.
Yeah, good on him.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because we're all thinking it.
I'm thinking it because I'm committed to, here's what I believe the Phillies' philosophy is, though, is that they know this town, and they know this town will not support a baseball rebuild. Fans don't come out. The place is empty. And they're running a business.
I don't know if any place like will
so
support a
rebuild.
So they
know that it's not going to be... No,
I mean, like, no one's going to the Sixers game. Like, we supported the rebuild. A lot of us did, but no one was going to the games.
I know, but you go from sellout streak of 6 years?
About that, yeah, five
like six
or six.
Years or so, to ghost town.
I mean,
Scooby-Doo ghost town.
Well, it's been a ghost town, right?
The only thing missing was Shaggy and Scooby.
It's been a ghost town, so at that point, you just look at it like, okay, well, it'll continue for a few years, but...
I think people would buy into it more if they had confidence that they could actually do it. But they've given you 50 years of
small pocket. Dave Dombrowski doesn't give people confidence, though?
I mean...
And this isn't about not spending. The Phillies are spending. Look at their salary.
They can always spend more when you don't have a farm system.
They went out and bought shiny toys.
Sure, they spent...
That are useless for trying to win a championship.
But this is their problem. They've spent the most money in baseball the last two off seasons, I believe, and it's still not even close to good enough because you can't supplement it with your own homegrown talent. So the most important thing... Look, would I love to watch Chris Bryant hit some home runs at Citizens Bank Park? Sure. But... The most important thing Dave Dombrowski can do is to fix the freaking farm system for once. Because right now, you're at a point where I'm on board with signing Matt Kemp or Yonas Cespedes.
No, you're not with Matt Kemp.
They need bodies. They need somebody.
Matt Kemp put on 45 pounds in 1 year.
That's great. I love fat outfielders.
I saw him come to camp. He put on 45
pounds.
Love it.
Belly power. Let's go.
No, he put on 45 pounds from the last week of February.
It's great.
To the end of the season. You can't do
that. We need a fat outfielder here.
You just go to Magic City every day.
Well, he did go to Magic City.
I mean, they need somebody.
How about this?
Bryce Harper's probably going to the IL today.
Matt Kemp, true story, Matt Kemp rents a condo, a Mac Daddy condo. With a giant patio and everything like that that's on the top of his building in Battery, Atlanta, which is where he could just walk to the ballpark. Like, walk across a parking
lot,
he's at work. And that's where he decided to have his temporary home. It was directly across the windows from our studios.
Uh-huh.
So he would come out, if he came out in like a t-shirt and flip-flops and just wanted to like read the newspaper or have a... Our studios looked right at the window. And he got gigantic. And check out, and he was a dude.
Yeah.
Wasn't he with Rihanna?
He was at one point.
At one
wow.
time.
That's good Mac Kemp
knowledge. He was a sought after.
Oh, yeah.
Women thought he was the bomb.
He was an all-star as recently as 2018.
I'm not talking about his back of his baseball card.
Rihanna is like.
He's a swordsman.
She's number one in my power rankings.
She's beautiful.
She's top three.
She's beautiful.
She's ridiculous.
And the man's a swordsman.
I think she's a sex robot sent from the future.
And he went boom. He just went boom. And then he took it all off again. By like the next offseason.
Let's get him nice and plumpy and playing corner outfield for your Phils, huh?
I mean, serious. No, we do not want Matt Kemp here.
We need somebody here. And that's how desperate they are.
I promise you this. If Matt Kemp comes to town, don't even make the request for the for him to join us.
Oh, no.
What show?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's not.
Oh, yeah.
We may be caught food containers left on the porch.
Mm-hmm. I hear those Magic City wings are good.
No, it wasn't that.
No.
No, it was more like other food, fast food.
Fast food.
Stuff being left out on the patio porch. And He wasn't happy. In the linchpin, Jamie Lynch says somebody's got a monkey on their back, and it's big.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, I was thinking about this over the weekend. Milwaukee's monkey on their back is way bigger than the Sixers. We're, you know, waking up Saturday morning, number one seed. Second time in my life. First time since 2001. And it's nice. But this is just hopefully the start of a couple years of sustainability in getting that one seed.
Absolutely.
Milwaukee's now been a one seed the last 2 years and hasn't been able to get it done. They added Drew Holiday to a good core with him and Giannis and Middleton. I would imagine the pressure on Milwaukee is pretty substantial. And I think their monkey on the back is way bigger than the Sixers. Because if they don't get it done again this year, I would imagine, you know, the fanatic of Milwaukee will be frothing at the mouth with anger. If they can get angry in Wisconsin, I don't know.
That monkey is King Kong on their back. After two playoff failures, shortcomings, the Sixers monkey should be like a cute little monkey.
Yeah, like the Ross hump
like
monkey.
Curious George.
Yeah.
Curious George. What? Sixers have Curious George on their back.
Ross had a monkey and Friends that humped everything.
Yeah, remember Ross's monkey? He didn't like Friends.
No, I didn't mind. I don't mind.
It's just a little monkey.
No, I enjoy Friends. It was always cold on that set. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I agree. Milwaukee
is huge.
It should be huge.
They got a silverback on there.
And somehow this season, they've flown under the radar a little bit. Like, I think they're going
into
the
playoffs.
That's because everybody's talking about the Nets.
Right. Everybody's talking about
the Sixers
and the
Sixers
are the
ones. They're kind of in a good spot in that way.
They really are.
Not having to go Milwaukee Nets to get to the final.
I don't like their draw. Miami.
That's a brutal draw.
And Miami owns them. So this could be for your boy, who you love, your coach there in Milwaukee, John.
Coach Booze and Holder.
If this
I think it's
year,
Budenholzer,
I mean, if they lose to
that's
Miami,
not what
in
the cops said. That's not what the cops said, Jamie.
If they lose to Miami in the first round, it may after the last 2 years.
Are they blow it up?
Something.
No, they
not,
should.
No, I don't think it. They can't blow it up. What? I mean, Giannis and Holiday.
And retool, I guess. Not
what?
Blow it up.
Guess what?
Like, go get somebody
if
that's not Middleton.
If they lose in the first round of Miami, after the two shortcomings of the last 2 years,
oof.
Coach Boosenholder has to go.
Yeah, I would think that's step one.
He's got to go.
Probably.
And guess what? Spoiler alert. I don't believe he may end up someday doing something. As I said, he worked for Pops. He thinks he's Pops.
Yeah.
He thinks he's Pops. He thinks he's Greg Popovich and has that mentality.
Yeah.
So
I would imagine
I'd like to see it.
I'd like to talk to a Bucks fan and just kind of, I've never really gotten on Bucks Twitter and seen what they're talking about.
Is there Bucks Twitter?
Yeah. There's
a spotty internet in the hills of Wisconsin.
Well, they're on hotspots out
years
there.
Years ago, even when they weren't good, they do have a good fan base.
They do. Yes, they
it's
do.
It's pretty neat. They have a group of about 100 guys that come to every game and chant similar to
Sons of Bennis.
Yeah, and they've done it for years, even when they were horrible. And they do have a good following. Like, what else is there to do in Milwaukee?
Yeah, sell tickets.
Drink beer.
Yeah. It's hard to get a ticket.
Oh, they drink beer, too, yeah. They do that well. I always enjoyed going to a game in Milwaukee.
The house that Giannis built.
It's a fun spot to visit.
Get
in and get out, though.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. Do they have anger capabilities out there?
Because
I would imagine if they don't get it done to at least
angry,
the finals this year.
They're angry with Aaron Rodgers right now.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is not getting... Aaron Rodgers has taken the Prince Harry approach. He has no clue. They keep, whisper. And then people are not supporting him. His base, which he thinks would support him, and everything is not. They're not thinking. There's Pro Bowlers drafted all over the offensive
side. He's got one of the best wide receivers in football.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, they haven't done anything to support me.
Yeah, they got you, Devontae Adams, dude.
And he has a bunch of mouthpieces in the media who back up that false point of view.
Yeah. He got a great offensive line.
Doesn't he own part of the Bucs?
He owns part of the Bucs, doesn't he?
I think you're right.
Minority owner.
I think you're right, yeah.
Like, but that's like, you know, that people have small portions of
the Bucs. He owns a 1% stake in the Milwaukee Bucs.
It's a good investment.
He invested it in 2017.
Why not?
Guaranteed.
Why not?
Money
the team
back
he plays
that.
For is owned by the people in the city.
Exactly.
Right?
Shareholders.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
If the Bucks lose, I'm hopping on their Twitter handle and seeing what the fans are saying because
I would imagine it's going to get ugly there if they don't get it done.
It's going to be a really good first-round series.
Oh, my
gosh. That is going to be really good.
How about this? Oh, do we not have, don't we have Wednesday night? Is it LeBron versus, is it not LeBron? Who's that on Thursday night?
LeBron versus
Wednesday night.
Steph Curry?
I don't know if that's
Lakers, Warriors are the 7-8.
That's Wednesday night. So we got that Wednesday night.
That's
part of the red doubleheader.
Just don't start it at 10 o'clock at night, please.
That's probably going.
They will.
Yeah.
Damn it. That's going to be. Guess what? They're playing the Celtics game at 9.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous.
An Eastern Conference team.
What the hell?
So, Milwaukee plays Miami. That's got to be your marquee game on Saturday if you're going all Eastern Conference.
No. You're not going all East. They said that the 4-5 and the 3-6 in the West could play Saturday.
Okay.
The ones that are already set, they can play Saturday.
They can.
So it's probably going to be 2 West, 2 East.
Yeah, I think the Sixers are Saturday from what I've heard.
Sixers will be Saturday, and I think that the Nets will be Saturday.
Oh, boy.
But then they probably put the Nets on Sunday then.
Yeah, Sixers so I'm are just supposed wondering the time for Sixers. Now,
I'm going to have to shut my
phone
off.
You
would
think a 1 seed would be a primetime game, but if you're playing Charlotte, Sixers, that's not a great... If Sixers play Boston... That's an 8 o'clock Saturday
That'd
game.
That'd be Saturday night.
Yeah.
I'd say 3:30 if it's Charlotte.
So do I. That's what I...
Or Jay Washington.
I was talking about this
that would be great
what's
for
it,
me.
1:30, 6 and 9 or something like that? They do something along those lines.
I'm pulling for 3:30.
You know it's going to be great? Going to bars.
Yeah, that will be nice.
Watching the Sixers with people you don't even know.
Yeah.
And high-fiving them. And giving another fan a hug when they win.
Making out with them.
I can't.
You just got weird.
I'm married.
Yeah, yes. What's wrong with you, Pat?
What the hell's wrong with you,
she
Pat?
She would frown on that?
Why would you even say something
sorry,
like that?
I thought that's where it was leading.
Right now. That is a little awkward. No,
just take our pants off.
Like being friendly. You
know? Having fun.
Oh, man.
You know, and join some happy hour.
It is, but I would
Pat's
be happy.
Pat's not invited if we go out.
I'd be in big trouble. Pat will end up in divorce court. Man, the whole show ends
Michelle Ferrari.
Hey, you can call, by the way. Somebody can call right now and win $100. Thanks to my friends at Bancroft Neuro Rehab. Rebound, recover, reconnect. Learn more at bnrinfo.org.
Just $100 cash?
No, how about something else? I'm going to throw in more for you.
Great cash, homie.
How about an autographed puck from a Flyer legend, Brian Propp?
Proper!
Plus, you're going to be qualified for the grand prize, a 5-pack of Brian's Guffaw cigars.
No. That's a nice item right there.
So $100. We're going to give away $100 right now thanks to Bancroft Neuro Rehab.
That's awesome.
Rebound, recover, reconnect. I had a chance to film some commercials a few weeks ago with Brian Propp.
Are they giving $100 to all of us too?
They are not. But they wanted to. They told me they wanted to. They just
legally didn't. They couldn't, yeah.
Filmed some commercials with Brian a few weeks ago, and it was so nice to see him again after we haven't seen each other in like 30 years. And, you know, he's recovering from a horrible stroke 6 years ago.
Ugh.
He looks fantastic.
That's great.
He is back out on the ice. He is, he has been an amazing recovery success story. And he wants to tell you about our friends at Bancroft Neuro Rehab. So fantastic job. We appreciate them being a part of it. And you'll hear and see more of that coming up in the coming weeks. But $100. How about that? Right now you win $100. By calling us right now at 610-632-0975. We get a winner. We'll get that in and get it for you. All right, coming up on the show in the second half of the show. It's been quite spirited this morning. I like this very much. Who are we rooting for and against and why? And I want to hear from you, too. If you've scouted out the four teams that are in the Eastern Conference play-in series, who are you rooting for and why? We'll get to that next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. If you get a power bill and you're a sports fan, have I got a deal for you? You think you can pick a winner? I'll guess the answer to all three is yes. So, Star Energy and our friends at Star Energy have a great offer for you. Join Star Energy and you're going to get a great fixed price, all green energy, and no early termination fee. But here's your winning shot. You get to pick the team of your choice to win its championship. And if your team wins, you win $150 in energy credits. And they'll even give you $25 in energy credits if you're wrong. It's a great electricity product anyway, and you know you need it. And they're all sports fans already at Star Energy. These folks are jacked for this. They are juiced up this game for you by letting you pick and win. So sports fans, it's your free pick right now. I want every sports fan to go to Star. Call 833-GO-TEAM-3. 833-GO-TEAM-3. And they'll make picking your team and signing up with Star as easy as an unguarded layup. Call 833-GO-TEAM-3 right now. Star Energy even has a no-obligation free sweepstakes going on just for calling in. So if you think you can pick a winner, put some fun in your electricity bill and some money in your pocket and tell them Kincaid sent you to Star Energy.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's a beautiful Monday, a joyous Monday, as we are getting ready for a long Sixers run on your flagship station for Sixers basketball, 97.5 The Fanatic. John Kincaid Show with you. 8 o'clock brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. You are greatly, greatly appreciated. We love you, and we thank you for making this show part of your routine. And for those of you who stream us on a daily basis and take the stream, take the app, go stream from work on 97.5thefanatic.com, we like you just a little bit more. You're like our favorite kid. Because everybody's got a favorite kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every parent has a favorite kid.
No, that's not true.
I was not it.
I don't like any of my kids.
I was not a favorite kid. By the way, I had a gentleman asking me a question on Twitter that I just responded to during the break. Brent. And Brent, we appreciate you listening. He was saying, where do we stay? We're going down to the Eagles opener in Atlanta.
In Hotlanta?
He said, no one says that. Only people not from Atlanta say that.
So, well, Ludacris said it once, yeah, so it I thought that was a thing.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, for like 10 minutes. And a gentleman asked where to stay. If you're an Eagles fan and you're going down to the opener, stay near, the way you should be searching for your hotel is Centennial Olympic Park.
Okay.
So just search for Centennial Olympic Park. You want a hotel walking distance from Centennial Olympic Park. You can get off your plane, go to baggage claim, take your bag, or if you check a bag, get on, take public transportation right from baggage claim, right to your hotel area, get off, don't have to pay for a car, don't have to pay for a rental car, don't have to go to the airport, anything like that, don't have to pay for cabs, walk to all the bars, walk to all the restaurants. So that is your little tip if you're an Eagles traveler, because I know a lot of people trying to get reservations to be able to make that trip down and see the Eagles.
There's a Marriott right there that I always stayed at. That was perfect.
Same marquee?
Yeah.
You always stay in the marquee? It's a great spot.
Perfect spot.
It's a great
spot. And walking through the park's always nice.
It's beautiful.
The Olympic Park is
always
beautiful.
It's
clean.
A nice spot. So was a lot of, saw some Eagles fans on the plane. Going back and forth, people, there's not a connection between
them. They're hard to spy, you know? You never really know if anybody's an Eagles fan until you see them. They never wear their gear.
So I want to ask you now, boys, who are we rooting for and against? Because I love to hear theories. I wanted to advocate for Boston to win the 7-8 game tomorrow night. So they'd play the second seed Nets. You know, the Nets and Kyrie versus the Celtics, there'd be some bad blood. Kyrie has already said basketball's not the most important thing to him right now.
Yeah, that was something.
Which, by the way, is really going to go over well in his locker room. Stevens versus a rookie coach scenario. I was thinking Boston was the ideal choice, but I want the Wizards out. So do I want the if I want the Wizards out, I want the Wizards out of the way of the Sixers. So I want the Wizards to win the 7-8 game, and then maybe the Sixers are the ones to take out Boston. So I don't care, Hawks and the Knicks, I don't care, and I don't want to talk about that series till we get to it. But things broke really well for the Sixers this weekend. But I ask you, I'm asking you, and some of the listeners too want to share, who are you rooting for and against as far as you're wanting them to lose, stay out of the Sixers' path, get some help here and there? What are you rooting for when you watch it? And that's where we begin with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Coach and Mike, our director on YouTube and Twitch.tv, and Connor answering the phones here on the John Kincaid Show. You can share your thoughts too at 610-632-0975. If you could design it, Bob, how does this play-in tournament work? The four teams, who do you want to win? Who do you want to lose? And why does it benefit?
Anytime, and I can hear Anthony's going to say, give it one of his yes in a couple of seconds after I say this. Anytime you can play the Boston Celtics in a series, bring it on. Now, I know it's far-fetched that they could face them, but I love a series with Boston. Now, two reasons for it, John. One is because it's cool. It's Boston-Philly. It's a good rivalry. Right. I think some of the players know about the rivalry. They've lost to Boston last year. It's redemption, all that stuff. But two, you're the better team. You're better than Boston. But Boston's going to make you think, and Boston's going to bring out the goodness in you. More than going through the motions of any other team, Boston's going to make you play maybe a little bit harder than you think you might have to in a first-round game. Now, ideally, you play as hard as you can every game, all that, whatever. But if you're playing a Charlotte in a series, you can kind of cakewalk through it. I want something to come out of that first round. And if you play a Boston where you are better than, but you have to think about it, and you're going to have to play hard, and you're going to have to do some things maybe that you're not accustomed to win the series, I think you get something out of it, and it benefits you.
Yeah, I think I'd rather play Boston than Washington, because I do think it's just going to be between those two. I think.
So you want Washington to win the 7-8 game?
Yeah.
So they're 7.
Yeah.
Out of the Sixers' way.
I don't think the Pacers or Hornets are going to come out of this play-in tournament, because you have Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal. You have superstars, and, you know, Westbrook, too, to his degree. I would love to play the Celtics and sweep them. A taste of your own medicine. You left a crappy taste in our mouth last offseason. Here's the returned favor. I would like to see the Celtics fans kind of question whether or not their team can get it done in the near future.
Let them have the summer.
Yeah, that we just had.
The little short offseason.
I'd love to see that.
That's my perfect scenario that Jamie just laid out.
You want Boston to lose the 7-8 game and then win the 8 seed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They get two home games.
It's dominating Boston the way that they have you the past, I mean, two of the past 3 years, basically, and getting kind of that mental monkey off your back to let everybody know, okay, no, this year's different. I mean, obviously, this year is different. I mean, it's a different team, and it's a different feel, but for them, mentally, to get over that hump, I think would be big.
Is it the best scenario, though, for the Sixers?
I think what Bob said's, you know, apt. Like, Brad Stevens is going to make you think and work for it.
So that's the best scenario, though, as far as, to me, you tell me the Sixers got to pay. If the Sixers had to play Charlotte.
Oh, that's easiest.
And then the Knicks-Hawks winner.
Yeah.
Dude, and I get it.
That's fun.
I get it.
That's easy.
But it almost looks like you would get bored with that.
Whereas Charlotte, I think, would be boring.
Guess what? What if you have to go through? If you have to go through Boston and the Knicks,
that's real.
To get to the conference finals, then you get the rivalry with Boston, the rivalry with New York.
That's fun.
Bob likes it.
Yeah, I do.
And it's probably for the juice. It's better.
Yeah, and
a Madison Square Garden playoff game.
Yeah, this Sixers team, for some reason, you can tell quickly whether they're into a game or not. And I don't think Boston will allow you the luxury not to be ready for a game, whereas a Charlotte might.
I want them out of my way. But I think I want him out of the way. I know, and it sounds, oh, you're being chicken, whatever. Give me Indiana or give me Charlotte. Somehow give me Indiana or Charlotte.
I'm just not worried either way.
Cameron in West Philadelphia, born and raised, joins us here on The Fanatic. Good morning, Cameron.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What are you up to, buddy?
Great show.
Thank you, man.
I'm actually rooting, I want to disagree with you for it, but I'm actually rooting for the Celtics to be the eighth seed.
Okay, that's fine. It seems like that's what Bob wants. That's what Jamie wants.
I want them to slay that dragon. Like, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, they got humiliated by the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then the following year on their Stanley Cup run, they smoked them. They got over that dragon. They got over that humiliation.
The only thing is Boston's not the same team, and they're all banged up.
But it's still Boston. We were all banged up last year in the bubble, and Joel Embiid got swept. And everybody was wondering, will he ever put it together?
Okay, so you want them to have a miserable offseason. Look, anything that makes anything that makes the Chowder Heads...
We all agree there.
I'm all in on that.
He wants them to be St. George. Slay that dragon.
The Chowdies.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. But all you're saying is the laundry. Boston's the laundry this year. It's the Jerry Seinfeld thing. You're rooting for laundry. We root for laundry. It's just beating Boston this year is not going to be... Revenge for last... It isn't revenge for
still
last.
Still looks nice to see
it
them lose.
It
does look nice.
Yeah, it's... I just think be careful what you wish for with Brad Stevens.
Yeah, am I wishing for it?
If you got to pick your opponent right now of the four, you get to pick your opponent right now. Who do you hope is
Charlotte? Later?
Charlotte.
Yeah, Jamie? I mean,
I think Charlotte's a sweep.
I think Charlotte's a sweep, but I think the team is going to get up more for Boston.
I don't want to see them, though.
Like, I think you can sleepwalk through Charlotte. I think Boston better prepares you for the second round.
Okay. It's truth. I mean, there's no question that Boston, just the chess match with Brad Stevens.
Yeah, I'm big on that. I'm big on what kind of basketball you're playing. And we talked about it before that if the Nets and Bucks have to go through each other to face the Sixers in the final, whoever comes out of it, we talk about being beat up. I talk about they're going to be playing really good basketball coming out of that series because they're going to have to.
Hey, whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. And we appreciate our friends at Napa for being a part of the John Kincaid Show. And it is a, look, it's going to be so much fun getting you to wake up every single morning after Sixers.
Oh, I can't off. Wait.
It's going to be awesome.
And it's, you see, it's supposed to be 90 degrees this weekend.
It's going to be 90 on Thursday.
On Thursday, too? I saw like, Saturday, Sunday are definitely
yeah,
90.
Yeah, I know. I'm not happy with
90
this.
Degrees in playoff basketball?
Oh, oh, that's take your pants baby. Off weather.
Not having 90.
It's what?
Take your pants off weather.
And put on your swim trunks is what he was going to say.
I don't like 90.
Bobble it a little.
So quick you to like take 90? Your pants off.
You like 90?
90's a little hot for me. If I could like pick 90. Ideal, I'd go like 84.
I think 80, yeah. 84, 85.
84, 85. Yeah, with yeah. a nice little breeze.
90's too damn hot.
For this early, it's pretty.
And it's
early for this.
It's too hot for. But
nah,
you like heat.
I like
Bob
the sweat.
Likes the heat.
I do. I like sweat. I was sweating yesterday. I'm good. 90.
What were
I
you
just,
doing?
I just the cut lawn? The front. Yeah, cut the front yard.
How bad was that?
It wasn't too bad, but I was sweating buckets. So
were
I can't.
You a riding mower or push?
Push.
You had the propel wasn't working.
Yeah.
It's not push. Propelling?
No, it propels. But
my self propel's broken.
Oh, his self propel.
Yeah, yeah, mine's broken. I got to take it to the. Guy,
just, I was sweating in that. I can't imagine what I'll look like in 90 degrees.
Does that come under the home warranty, Jamie?
No, we just bought that mower from the previous owner.
Oh, you bought it from the
negotiations.
Previous owner. They did the, hey, we'll leave this here.
Yeah.
We're going to leave this here. Or do you want us to throw it out?
Yeah.
You know, you want us to have to do that.
I
Pat,
can't.
Who mows your lawn?
I don't have a lawn. I live in the city.
I mean, come on. You
don't have a lawn?
You don't get one of those little tracks?
I miss the city. My allergies wouldn't be so bad. Stupid.
Wait a minute. You don't have one of those little tracks where you get that little track of grass
no.
where the Blessed Mother's in the grotto and...
No.
Thank
God.
You don't have any of that?
No, I don't. No, I have a stoop.
You have
and
a stoop.
I have a curb. And I have okay. concrete in between.
How far is the stoop, first step of the stoop, to the curb?
Probably.
Would you lay out twice and reach it?
No. Once.
Oh, okay. Well, then just once?
Yeah, probably
Stoop's
once.
A great word.
Wait a minute, once?
Yeah, probably once.
What if a car goes out of control?
Oh, it's great. Small sidewalk. So when it snows.
How do you park?
Parallel.
Very carefully. So parallel park.
Yeah.
So you have to fight for a spot?
Yeah, that's a pain.
Oh, Manioc and Roxborough in a snowstorm? Oh, God.
No, I'm not
that's
talking
terrible.
About a snowstorm. I'm talking about a
no,
normal
just regular,
day.
Yeah, regular. Like, if I go to Wawa, my parking spot's gone.
Going to Roxborough is not...
Especially, like, if I have a game at night, if I have a hockey game, and
oh,
I come back...
Screwed.
Yeah, you come back, like, 1 a.m., and all the spots are taken.
So
I'm basically
do?
Parking in Ballot Kenwood and walking.
Will you park that far away?
Yeah.
You have to park that far?
Usually, it's... the farthest would be, like, a block or two.
He's on, like, the Mayor of Easttown set.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard last night's episode was really good. I haven't watched it yet. I'm watching it tonight.
Okay.
I'm not going to ruin anything.
Who'd you happen to hear that from, Jamie?
Don't ruin it.
My friends last night, Pat, not you.
Don't ruin it.
So, wait. How many episodes, real quick, are there of this?
I think five, seven. But there are five right now that are...
Five. Last night was five.
Okay.
So there's
last
two more weeks.
So I watched two last night. So
what'd
I
you think?
Catching up.
You hooked?
I'm in. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Try telling
I've
seen
you.
Three.
Jagalins, you should have watched last night's live, because it'll be ruined for you.
No, it won't, Pat.
I've said,
okay.
I'm dodging
right.
bullets like
Godspeed,
Neo out
best
here.
Best of luck.
There you go. Man. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob says a good start means look for this in the first 5 minutes, and he's not talking about our show.
No, because we don't.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
You got to show up like 30 seconds into the 5 minutes.
It'll be nice to get a coffee wow. maker back down in our own office, you know?
Wow. That was a little shot.
A little. Yeah. Okay, it was a little shot.
All right, so first 5 minutes of a Sixers game. There's something that I look for, and if it happens, I feel comfortable for the rest of the day. And it has nothing to do with Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid or Tobias Harris. Believe it or not.
Okay, I have no idea what this means then.
Because if I'm seeing Seth Curry or Danny Green getting open three-point shots, whether they go down or not, and most likely when they have open ones, they go down. If I see them getting a couple of open shots in the first 5 minutes, it means the flow of the game is going at the right pace where they are getting those open shots. So that means to me, it's going to be there for the night, and it's a good night. That's honest to God, when they played Miami the last week, right? I think you and I were texting, John, if it wasn't, but I said, it might not have been you. But anyway, I was saying, when Danny Green and Seth Curry are standing still in a half-court offense, forget about it. It's done. And then Sixers' first 5 minutes of the game, they were done, and they knew it, and they quit. But when the team's moving and things are going well, you'll see it. Danny Green and Seth Curry get wide open threes.
That's because
they're moving.
Two things are going well. You're getting out in transition and running, exactly. Or Ben Simmons is being aggressive and drawing defenders to him and kicking.
Right, or they're running and Joel Embiid's getting where he wants to be, and you can do the dump it down passes, and they're doubling from outside, and one of those guys is open. No matter what it is, if those two guys are getting a couple of open threes in the first 5 minutes, watch. Okay. It's good. It's a good thing.
I would
thing.
Say in the what it to me is, why in the first 5 minutes would we not see them moving and doing all those things?
Well, you have to defend. And no the question. Other night against, you know, when you go against Miami the other night, and I forget they played another team last week that started the game 15 for 20 from the floor. You can't run when you're taking the ball out of the basket.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're not making stops defensively and getting rebounds and going, then you're screwed. So it does start on the defensive end. But when you see those two guys spotting up wide open, shooting threes a few times in the first 5 minutes, I'm sitting there saying this is going to be a good night. And that's my take.
I want Seth to not think. If you're open, catch it and shoot. Don't put it on the floor.
I don't understand it. I want Ben to stop putting it on the floor. Joel. Just stop putting it on the floor.
Yeah, I think he'll get that corrected by if they, you know, face a team that's going to double him. I was talking to Devon about it with Seth because Seth kind of is a thorn in his side Friday night when we were doing draft lines. And he said, you know, I do have to give the other team's defenses a lot of credit. They're not flying out on Seth anymore. They're not buying it. They're not jumping out on him. So he's thinking more and putting the ball on the ground. He said, I do have to give other teams' defenses a little hat tip when it comes to guarding Seth.
This seems, though, like they can survive the first round. They can probably survive the second round. You're not going to be able to survive the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals if Seth and Danny Green struggle in the same game.
Ding.
Like,
ding,
you're going to need one of those guys to be able to hit shots. One of them can struggle, but if both of them can struggle, you're losing that game.
Yeah, most likely.
I always hate when I can tell a game, like Bob's saying there, you can look for this in the first 5 minutes. I hate it when a game is telegraphed in the first 5 or 7 minutes. And it's a negative.
Yeah.
It's a negative.
Like it was the other because last I always, week against Miami.
Because in the NBA, more than any sport, the Eagles have started bad, even when in their fantastic runs, Andy Reid runs, Doug Peterson, had so many times where the first drive, they look like crapola, and then they turn it around. Jim Johnson's defenses used to just, they'd have one where they looked like they were getting owned, and then he'd see what they wanted to do, and it'd be tick, 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 and move them around the board, and then you can shut them down.
Yeah.
The NBA rarely see that, where a team gets owned, and it just seems like, okay, well, that's where you're going to get pretty much. Now, there'll be a run to make it cosmetically close, but
NBA is a diarrhea game. It's a game of runs.
Diarrhea?
That's good work on Bob's part.
That?
There you go.
Yeah.
Dookie! Checking in on some of our fun fan people on YouTube. We love you all. There are some fun ones here that I saw was one of our listeners, Sean.
What'd he say, Sean?
He was making a chicken coop this weekend. He was building a chicken coop.
Huh. I have a friend from college with chickens.
Okay. I would hate living next to Sean.
Yeah.
If I had a chicken coop.
There's some in my neighborhood.
Wait a minute.
A woman has like seven or eight.
How close are you to your neighbors that you can have a chicken coop?
We're not that far apart from one another.
I mean, but every one, right?
I take Skylar there because she likes looking at them.
Do you hear them?
I've never heard them, but I'm only there in short doses.
Bob, chicken coops ever next to you?
Nothing. And we have a family. Actually, I know three people with chicken coops. We have a family friend.
Really?
That has chicken. They grow their own grapes and they have chickens in the backyard.
They grow their own grapes.
And make their own wine and they have their own eggs. And recently I got 6 DeSandro eggs. It came my way.
They have delicious Kool-Aid.
Wine? Yeah. You have to wash them off in the sink. And
hey DeSandros.
So I bared some of the fruit of their chickens.
Well, all right. Pat in Roxbury, do you have anybody with a...
No.
Anybody with home businesses in their house? Well...
Yeah, plenty of those.
Is that a home business or is that someone trying to be self-sufficient, live off the grid? Yeah, the chicken coop.
It's kind of...
You're trying to live off the grid?
No, nah, there's something to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say it's like a hobby.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
Yeah, I would call it a hobby. I'm a chicken cooper guy.
Yeah, if the apocalypse ever comes, you know, they're
set.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
Yes, yeah, they're set.
Now, Sean...
Six chickens will carry.
Sean says he's got a full... Sean says he's got a full acre.
Oh, okay.
Then that chicken coop, I'd sure as hell want that to be right in the middle of his full acre. Not on the edge. Don't put it next to my...
Yeah. You
know, where our property lines
are. The ones I know are in Jenkintown, like Ambler area. There's neighbors right on top of each other.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I'm a little nervous about this because I will be living out in, you know, in a less...
I don't mind a rooster wake up.
I don't want that.
What?
No. I don't want that.
I think it's a pleasant...
Guess what?
I mean, I don't want it at 4:30 in the morning.
No, but they do... Sometimes they start it when time change happens, I can assure you, the rooster screws you.
It's pleasant sound.
Wait,
do you think... Where does your rooster knowledge come from?
Old Atlanta Club, where I lived.
Really?
We lived next to Old Atlanta Club. We lived next to... The people next to us had... They were two farms until they ended up selling them.
Hmm.
And the roosters would screw you up because you had the... You'd hear the roosters. And wow. You could hear them.
But it wouldn't aggravate me, I don't think.
Yeah, Jamie, when you're trying to sleep, it does.
Yeah, do you think you just ask the rooster, nice. Like you tell the rooster when
hey,
to
buddy,
wake
can
up?
You wait till 7:30?
Yeah. It's not a snooze button that you have.
It's not like a torturous sound.
I don't know if it's the same here, but in the suburbs of Albuquerque, where I lived, we had coyotes. We had wolves.
Oh.
We had...
I haven't heard those.
They would... You know, like, we had coyote... Coyotes walk right down the street.
Like Shane
Doan? Right down, and you're right outside the city limits. We'd have coyotes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
We had coyotes. I would put the dog out at night, and the light glimmer off the, like, we'd put the lights on to put light out. So, like Mike Missinelli's talking about, put the dog out, and you put on the lights from Farron Electric. And when we put the lights on, and I'd look in our woods, and you could see the eyes looking back at you.
Wow.
Like they weren't going to come near you. As long as you were there, they weren't going to go after your dog. As long as they weren't rabid. But we had coyote, big time coyote problem.
Wow. Oh, one of our listeners, Zach in Old City, just tweeted in, he's got bees if we ever need honey.
He's got, well, so did
my brother-in-law
Casey,
does it.
So did Casey.
That's good for allergies.
Yes, so Casey, local honey.
Yes, get a teaspoon every morning. You got that. Take that honey. Teaspoon every morning. Takes you 4 days, reportedly.
I got to start doing that.
You would not have, but it has to be local honey.
Yeah.
Local honey.
I can go right over to Maple
harvested.
Acres.
Okay.
Go and they got the local honey.
Maple Acres is the place to be. All right. This Phillies team.
You couldn't pass up a chance to sing.
It's not a blip. It's a trend. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. My guys are the Parx Casino Sportsbook app, the official sportsbook partner of the Philly sports fan. It's easy to use, safe, and reliable. And boy, now you can do the futures bets. You want to think about this 76ers run coming up. Do you like how everything's laid out for them? Maybe you're feeling better about their chances to win a championship now. Well, why don't you jump in with a risk-free bet of up to $500. Bet it all. Pro hoops. You got the Stanley Cup playoffs going on. Golf and baseball and more. You will love the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. It's easy to navigate. You can make up your own parlays. It's absolutely awesome. And with that risk-free bet, they're pretty much paying you to get involved. It's awesome. Get the home field advantage. Download this app, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app, or go to parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC. It's a great deal. Do it now. You can bet with the home team, my team. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers, visit paworkinjury.com. Bad to the bone. There's some bad blood this morning. I mean, there's a few little bad blood things. In fact, I'm believing that potentially we've got some dirty laundry.
Oh, let's air out our dirty laundry.
I believe we might have some.
I love Bob Cooney.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else.
No. And I got a lot of love for Bob Cooney. But, and Jamie, you'll attest this. Bob has this thing that he finds hilarious. that I physically want to punch him in the face when he does it.
He stretches his back a lot.
He walks into the studio. He's standing no less than 3 feet from me. And he busts ass and looks me dead in the eye and says,
it doesn't smell.
I'm not Connor Thomas. I'm not Dewey Cox. All right.
My mouth was open. You got
mouth was open. I have a sense of smell. And the first fact all, that this guy, this grown man.
Yeah, Connor, part of the team, does not smell.
The fact that this grown man walks into another person's studio and decides to bust ass and then have the audacity to look me in the face and lie to me saying it doesn't smell. Grow the hell up and stop eating whatever the hell it is you eat in the morning.
I'm eating your cereal.
Then stop. Because you're affecting my mood. It did. You're affecting my mood and you're affecting coaches.
Coach was waving.
Didn't have a bad mood, you wouldn't have a mood.
Coach looked like it was the Mummers Parade.
Fair point for Bob. Yeah.
Coach is like waving papers and everything.
Dude, seriously.
I was expecting to see a string band.
Hostile work environment. It came to blows in the past when I've been in Pat's chair and I was like, Bob, you have to stop. And he stopped for a while. Now it's back.
Here's what he did.
I don't know what you...
Stop. Stop it.
I want to...
Bad Bob. Funny?
Oh, welcome to the club.
If we had an HR department, I complain, but I have to fly to Naples to do that.
I'll go with you.
You're good for the trip.
Bob's looking at the golf site.
I make a solemn vow right now. It'll never happen again.
I've heard this before. Can you imagine me and Bob rolling into HR in Naples? Excuse me, I have a complaint. It's about this guy right here.
And Bob would be like, if we could get
our Hawaiian shirts.
Bob, could I plead my case first? Because I booked the tea time for 10:40. Could we make this hearing go fast? Unbelievable. Aaron Nola and his three-year running 5+ ERA on the road. For those who continually will not just take the L and realize that he's not an ace. It's not very ace-like. A 5+ ERA over 3 years plus is not an ace. What was just a fun back and forth with Phillies fans over people who think Nola's an ace, and then getting lectured by JT the Savior earlier this year that after one ace-like outing that if you don't think he's an ace, you don't know baseball. Well, JT, I know this.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
A 5+ ERA over the course of 3+ seasons is more than a fair evaluation period. A 5+ ERA from the person who is your top of the rotation starter, supposedly, is inadequate. It's underachieving. It's unacceptable. How's that for a lecture? I know baseball, and I most certainly know bad baseball. This is not a blip. It's a trend. And it's a big trend. Enough. This is one that you lay your swords down at this point. Do a Bomani Jones, as I referenced to him yesterday. Take the L. Occasionally you can take the L and say, there's so many things you get wrong in life. Tim Duncan is a Hall of Famer. I thought Tim Duncan was going to be a complete bust. It's okay to get stuff wrong. Aaron Nola is wrong. And it continues to be wrong. And a 5+ ERA on the road is wrong. Hi, Patty.
You love this. Have that crap-eating grin on your face this entire conference. Look at you. Oh, it's wrong.
It is. It's
wrong. A blip. It's wrong.
It's
wrong.
It's wrong.
You love it. You have that crap-eating grin on your face.
No question.
You love this.
Guilty as charged, and the fact is he is a good pitcher. And I've always said it. He's a good pitcher. He's a good number two. He's a good number two type of guy in your rotation. He's not an ace. Never was an ace. And it was 1 year.
Oh, he was an ace that one year.
And everybody continues to climb to that 1 year. Well, there was that time. Remember that time? It continually shows. This is getting bad. This is a bad trend, though. A 5+ ERA on the road.
Yeah, it's ugly.
If one of, and over 3+ seasons, that isn't top two guys in the rotation for most teams where one of the guys has a 5+ ERA.
Yeah, this it is. It's troubling. I don't know what it is because
JT Realmuto,
it's multiple places. Well, what do you expect JT to do?
JT would tell us both that we don't know. But guess what, JT? It took it too far. You don't know baseball if you don't think
he took it as a personal attack.
Well, JT.
Because you're on the other end of the argument.
We know baseball.
I appreciate it, JT, for sticking up for my people.
And I know bad baseball.
Yeah,
I see it.
I don't know what it is about the road and home, because it's not like Citizens Bank Park is Petco. It's a bandbox. He's got to fix it, but I would still just say it's still May.
Well, so, they just flipped the rotation.
No,
it's May.
Yes. Pat, this is 3.5 years of data.
It's May.
You can't say May.
I just did.
No, we're going to go back to...
It's going
to
be May.
It's May of 2018.
It's May.
This is May of 2018.
He can turn it on, though.
And what, he gets it below 5 to 4.9?
Well, to play...
3.5 year ERA
to play devil's advocate, those last 3 years have been with, what, I think 3 different pitching coaches. And, you know, this year you've seen what Caleb Cotham has done. Now, it's not getting better. To double down on your point, you're right. It hasn't gotten better.
It's gotten worse.
He's improved with other pitchers. Why hasn't it improved with Aaron Nola on the road? I don't know what the answer is, but I could totally see him turning it around, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense why this guy's pitching so well at home and then on the road he's getting shelled.
I think he's a good pitcher, so I think he will. There's going to be a stretch of 3 out of 4 road games where he gives you a good outing, and then he's going to go and crap the bed again. And do this. They get you a 5+
ERA.
But
even then, like, he gave up 3 runs in 6 and 2/3?
It was technically a quality start.
He struck at 8. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad start.
He did what I praised Vinny Velasquez for. Because one of my buddies called me on it yesterday and goes, you just praised Vinny I praised Zach Eflin the other day for being down 4-0, and then you praised him for surviving. I said, if you're holding Zach Eflin to the same standards as Aaron Nola, that's where your argument falls apart.
Yeah, there's expectations.
Yes, I will praise Zach Eflin, because when Zach Eflin used to go down 4-0, it became 7-0.
Yeah,
there's
a level of expectation there.
Yes, because I've been told that he's an ace.
But still, I mean,
well, he has ace-like performances, and his problem is consistency.
A lot of pitchers do.
I mean, Andrew and I went through it yesterday. You know, Gerrit Cole, or the guy in Milwaukee, I'm brain farting on his
Woodruff?
Name. Not Woodruff, the other guy.
Woodruff.
Sabathia.
No, it was Woodruff. He's 8 quality starts in his last 10. And that's what you should get out of an ace. I think Nola was technically at 6 of 10.
Guess what? Quality start, though, is not an ace stat.
Well, no, but it should be the basement.
It should be the floor.
It should be, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but not for aces.
But if you're a true ace.
That should be the base ace. That should be the basement for your number 2 starter, too. A good pitcher in baseball.
I mean,
it's not
6 of 7, I would say, out of 10 is good for a 2.
A quality start is very.
But they should just, if they just flipped Wheeler and Nola. It's a good thing. So just do it.
No, I'm just saying. I said if people, I'm suggesting I could have.
Nola's problem is the consistency. Because sometimes he looks like a Cy Young winner, and then he goes on the road, and you're like, dude, you could have just won the team a series, and you didn't.
Dom, what are you doing this morning, buddy? Where are you?
Well, I'm at ShopRite, but after what you just said, John, you were talking directly to me. Because, you know, Bob and Jamie and Pat know, I love Aaron. He's my favorite Philly. I stick up for him all the time, but he is not an ace.
I'm glad to hear you admit that. And, you know, I think it was the crimpets talking.
Well, all those the buttercream cupcakes that I will fulfill my obligation. I said that if he didn't win 18 games, I would deliver 2 cases of buttercream cupcakes to you guys, and that's what I'm going to do.
I think, you know, you don't have to deliver them yet, but I have a feeling by, like, July we're going to know that's not going to happen. So, I mean, you can bring them.
I don't think. I mean, he's Jamie said it yesterday with him and Andrew. I mean, he had a chance to win 2 series. He grabs the ball and he doesn't do it.
I mean,
he doesn't act like an ace. An ace to me is a stopper, right, John?
Yes, that's absolutely what an ace is. Yes.
So that's not Aaron Nola right now.
No, it's not.
Aaron Nola didn't lose you this series. Like, first of all, he
should have gotten some
runs. He probably should have went 7 innings, because he went 6 2/3 and he was pulled for whatever reason. But he was rolling in that 6th inning. I mean, you think he struck out both batters.
Correct. He did.
They literally didn't hit.
I got you.
They lost 4-0.
Guess what? Jacob DeGrom has had the worst run support in baseball for 3+ years running.
Yeah, he's an ace.
And you know what? He's an ace.
But my point is,
Aaron Nola isn't.
My point is that, like, to make this argument after he didn't pitch poorly the argument you're making, though, it sounds like at least that you're blaming Aaron Nola for this series, when in reality it's the bats. Bats were dead.
What I'm saying is when the bats are dead, you can still go out and throw up zeros yourself.
You can.
An ace can. An ace can.
But I don't. I think he pitched pretty well.
And when you bury your team early,
I see that's where we disagree, because I don't think being down 3-0 is burying your team. I think burying your team is down 5-0 in the first.
It's rare when an ace is down 3-0 in a game.
Well, I mean, rare. Agree to disagree.
When you're an ace, how many times are aces down 3-0 in games? Pat, the big guys.
I mean, you made the argument, so you
ask. Bosses. They're not. They're okay. Not. It's rare. It is not the.
It's never happened?
No. They see now you're trying to take.
No,
an argument.
I mean, you're changing
argument.
It's
rare.
I just said I agree to disagree.
No,
you want to keep fighting about
no,
this?
No, I said it's rare. And then you said it's never happened?
Well, because you're kind of like.
No, it's rare, Pat. Rare means, Pat, too, yeah. It doesn't happen often. That's what it means.
Oh, okay, rare thanks.
So there you go.
Pat, what do you hate worse, the argument with Aaron Nola or me coming and visiting
the
you?
The argument with Aaron Nola. Because at this point, every time he pitches even decently, we get to come in and hear the same argument again.
It's okay, Pat, to just, you can Bomani it.
Okay, first of all, don't ever bring up me and Bomani Jones in the same sentence.
It's
because
okay.
You have your list of 1,000 guys.
You don't like Bomani?
No. I don't like Cool Ranch Doritos. I despise Bomani Jones.
I've never had one.
You don't like Cool Ranch Doritos?
Yeah, I don't really like them. I've never had one.
Really?
I do not like ranch. I am repulsed by ranch dressing.
I don't associate the two.
What's ranch?
I know, but it doesn't taste like ranch dressing.
Okay, but just the fact
I want to put Cool Ranch Doritos in one of those salt and pepper grinders and just, you know, like season my chicken breast with it.
You can do that.
I know I can.
No.
Do it.
I know a place that has it on the menu.
Oh, you got to. Can you try one on air? I don't think it tastes like ranch dressing.
Do we have them? I hate ranch dressing. I hate
it. I don't know if we
can. Like ranch dressing.
I don't associate it.
Ranch dressing is like if I'll get wings. And they'll
it's gotta be blue cheese.
And they'll say blue cheese ranch. I don't do the liquid blue cheese at all.
Oh, I love it.
I'll do crunchy blue cheese. Like not crunchy.
Yeah,
like
the crumbles.
And I will say, my wife, she's so used to it, she just says to the waiter, the waitress, give me his, he doesn't even want it on his plate. Like he doesn't want it, you know, I can't have it on
so
the
plate. So you're dry bone man?
Me with tomatoes.
Like you don't even want it on the plate.
If it's on the plate goes back.
Now the thing is though, I'm not if it gets on the plate. If it gets on the plate and any of it's like it's spilling out onto the wings.
Oh hell yeah.
Boom.
Oh God, I want some wings right now.
I always say to myself
I could go for some.
I'm a believer of this with sandwiches.
See, look, food brings us all together, yeah?
It does.
Yeah,
I'm a believer of this. If you need a sauce to make the sandwich isn't that good.
I would say it enhances.
If your wings need me to dip to be good, if your wings aren't flavorful enough.
Nothing drives me more insane than the naked wings that come out with a side of sauce.
Guess what?
Toss that bleep in the back. I'm not pouring it over my wings.
I agree.
Drives me nuts.
I would just say is that I think wings. If your wings are fine, tossed, seasoned, whatever.
Yeah, you need the bowl
but
tossed.
If you have to dip your wings to make them.
Oh, you can put blue cheese?
Don't you think that takes away from the taste or not for
no,
you?
No, it enhances.
You like it enhances.
Yeah, I'm a big blue cheese guy.
It doesn't overwhelm?
No.
Blue cheese doesn't overwhelm?
Such a good marriage.
See, I think it's pungent.
It oh, I love it.
No. Really?
We might disagree on some things, but guess what?
Look at that.
And I know you don't.
We brought you guys together.
Us. Well, what about Gary Strusky's mom and Egan the other day?
Who?
Gary Strusky, SportsCenter anchor. He put out a video of his mom going out to eat with his mom.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And he put it out of his mom brings the rubber gloves to eat
with. Does she really?
The disposable gloves.
Oh, that's the video you tagged me in. Okay.
And Gary's like, yeah, he goes, there's a lot of people, there are a lot of psychos out there.
Okay.
I believe Gary said he was talking about his own mother and Egan. He said, I think there's a lot of psychos out there.
I've never brought it to a restaurant.
She wears them in a restaurant.
Yeah, I won't do that.
That's pretty cool. I respect that.
And she's adorable.
No, Egan, I shared wings with Egan one time. We were here watching Eagles game together. And I did the gloves with him.
Well, he wore the gloves in the hotel during the blizzard of
that's right
21, which really wasn't a blizzard, but it still was enough.
Yeah, we'll party with some wing gloves.
So he's got that.
I'll bring enough for everybody.
Wings bring us together.
Oh God, I want some wings now.
Yeah, I'm hungry for wings.
Hey, in the linchpin, gut reaction, Hall of Fame or not.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, you know, you've said it in the past with us before, John. It's becoming the Hall of Very Good. And I'm not one to try and strip a guy of their achievement where they just made the Hall. But yesterday's Hall of Fame class to me, or the announcement for next year's class, excuse me, just screamed to me the Hall of Very Good.
Chris Bosch, Chris Webber, and Ben Wallace are the big three. Ben Wallace, you know, I think three-time defensive player of the year. He would grab rebounds like wild. He was a defensive force, you know, a big reason why Detroit won their championship. I don't want to take anything away from him, but real quick, let's just go around the room. Gut reaction, Chris Bosch, Hall of Famer?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Chris Webber, Hall of Famer?
No.
Borderline.
Remember, though, it's not just on your pro career. It's on
sure. Yeah, it's the whole thing. He's so Chris Bosch's Olympic gold medal carries weight.
But right. Chris Webber, closer than Chris Bosch, in my mind.
I think Bosch had a better pro career, but Webber was kind of a bigger force in the game, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and the Fab Five thing. Yeah, plays heavily
definitely.
That.
Yeah, and then Ben Wallace, last one.
Yes. No.
No. No.
Ben Wallace, numbers. No. Yes. Ben Wallace, I never watched Ben Wallace. I never watched any one of these guys and said, I'm watching one of the all-time greats. I'm going to watch a guy who is going to be in the discussion with Kareem and Shaq and the greatest of the game.
See, I viewed him
it's
like
the very good. Unless there's a hallway where you go down and you go, these are the guys that we put in the Hall of Fame, but they're not in the same discussion as these guys.
I oddly think Ben Wallace has the strongest case out of the three of them, and I know that sounds twisted.
No, but he could.
Because he was such a dominant defensive and rebounding force.
Wasn't he a four-time defensive player of the year?
At least three, maybe four.
At least three.
Yeah.
But I never thought I'm going, man,
but Chris Bosch was an 11-time All-Star, a gold medal recipient. It's hard for me to argue against it, but I just never got the feeling watching Chris Webber or Chris Bosch that I was watching a Hall of Fame play.
See, I think Chris Webber has the best case.
So do I. Chris Webber, I can almost go with. Yes.
Fab Five was historically important.
Monumental in college basketball.
Chris Bosch was not a pivotal part of anything like just historically in basketball annals.
How many rebounds a game did Ben Wallace average, you think, for his career?
11.5.
I'm going to go 10.8.
8.9.
9.6.
Oh, my gosh.
How many points a game?
In his prime, what was he getting a game?
Getting like 13. But, all right, so I'm going to get a guy into a Hall of Fame where over a five-year span he averaged 10 rebounds?
That's like, not a lot.
It's the defensive player of the years that got him in.
That's ridiculous to me. He averaged 2 blocks for his career. That's a nice number. He didn't even average 6 points a game. He averaged 5.7 points a game. Look, I don't know. It's going downhill.
I don't know that I want any, and this is going to be bizarre to some, I do not know that I want any one-dimensional players in the Hall of Fame. He's a one-trick pony.
Let's put it in the simplest forms. Do you think Ben Wallace had a great career?
No. No.
For not having an offensive game, yes.
No, he can't do that.
He could dominate games in a weird way.
Did he have a great career?
Yes. Kinda.
That's not Hall of Fame.
That's not Hall of Fame.
That's not Hall of Fame.
If there's a disclaimer needed, it's not a Hall of Fame.
I guess the person
you could most compare him to is like a Dennis Rodman.
Rodman did one thing, and he did it far better than Ben Wallace.
And Dennis Rodman was part of basketball history. Historically, he played a huge part.
Sure, but Dennis Rodman didn't have 4 Defensive Player of the Year awards also.
And Ben Wallace was a huge part of those Pistons teams.
Yeah, he was a big reason for their success.
He was a big part of it.
But to your point, I never once felt like I was watching a Hall of Fame player.
Yes.
And the same goes for both Chris's.
I just don't understand why in the NBA and the NFL and pro football, it's because it's the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, that they feel the need.
Sure.
We got to put 7 guys in this year.
Well, congratulations to one.
Yeah.
Yes. Jay Wright. Local guy. That's awesome. Congratulations,
Jay.
Now, wait a minute, though. We talked about it this morning, and I'll say it as the Temple man. I'll say it, though. Jay Wright, absolutely Hall of Fame worthy and deservedly so. But I'm shocked that Jay Wright's going in the Hall of Fame now.
I was surprised, too, when I saw the news yesterday. I went, he's still got a lot of good coaching left.
It's too early in me.
Did I not say that to you this morning? I said it to everybody. I didn't know. I thought it's too early. Yeah.
Deserving? Jay Wright, yes. No question.
But not yet.
It's too early.
He still has more titles to win.
I know.
Jay Wright is...
He's in his prime.
Is there any doubt we're watching Jay Wright coach 10 years from now?
No.
In your mind?
I don't think so.
Right now. Unless something crazy came up. Yeah. Jay Wright's coaching 10 years from now.
At Villanova.
Why is he in the Hall? Why are they putting him in the Hall of Fame now? It just seems
I don't know.
They're rushing because of the amount of people they put in every year. We got it. Just is too much. It's too much.
Yeah, I don't like this year's players class all that
much.
If
you can play,
yeah,
and
it's weird.
Hopefully, I believe Shaquille will join us later this week. If you can play the Sesame Street game with Hall of Famers,
one of these
things
is not like
the other. Tell us, can you guess which one? If you can do that with Hall of Famers, I don't think they belong. So if you said Kareem, Shaq, and whoever else you want to put in with, and you put them in a discussion with Ben Wallace.
And
everybody unanimously goes, that's the guy. Because if you put Kareem, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and Shaq, and you put them in and said, which one doesn't belong? You'd go, every one of them belongs.
Yeah, but their first ballot, though, it's a little bit different.
See, that's the thing.
There's always going to be fringe Hall of Famers.
You got guys they put in the Hall of Fame that like get rejected 7-8 times. And I'm like, why is it all of a sudden changing? This is too much. We're going to get into a week of preparation for the Sixers. Doc Rivers, get to work. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know, as a 2-time cancer survivor, I know when it comes to funding cancer research, every dollar counts. And that's why we announced the American Association for Cancer Research as the official charity partner of the John Kincaid Show. If you've been touched by cancer directly or through someone you care about, join me in working to defeat these devastating diseases. Together, we can help accelerate scientific discoveries that will benefit patients and families everywhere by making a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. When you donate, private citizens like you and me, it adds up. And we're talking $10, $20, $30. It all helps. Thanks to research, there's almost 17 million Americans just like me who are cancer survivors today. The AACR and its members drive that progress. So donate. Support the scientists and doctors who will discover the next breakthrough. Go to AACR.org/fanatic because cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sorry if we haven't been great at giving you good Phillies vibes this morning. But we're not paid to. It's John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. 9 o'clock hours brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to Bagster.com. Just think about this. Starting next Monday, you're going to be waking up day after day, either talking about the Sixers game that happened in the playoffs or the Sixers game that's going to happen that night. It's a pretty exciting time to be here. It is going to be fun, and you are not going to want to ever vacate The Fanatic. So you want to take the app with you all the time and be a part of our show, and then all day long, stay with The Fanatic, get you jazzed up for it. I'm sure Cuz will be telling Tunis to play the song. It'll be a party, and this is your place to hang out. The 76ers now have a week to prepare. But I heard Bob talk about this last week, and I wrote it down, and I just think it's an interesting philosophy. Hopefully to just play their game. Doc Rivers is going to have time to practice with his team. He hasn't been able to do that much recently. Hopefully he doesn't have to practice to have to specifically shut down an opponent and change his game plan up because of the opposition. No extra special wrinkles should be needed, I would think, when a 1 seed gets put up against an 8 seed. In the last 27 seasons, only 5 8th-seeded teams have advanced. So just do the math for yourself. 5 out of 54 have advanced. So it's a pretty stacked deck. The matchup's usually quite lopsided. It's a scenario where efficiency and good health are really your only oppositions to your title chances. If the 76ers require Doc to dig into his bag of tricks to defeat an 8 seed, I got a feeling we're going to have a lot more free nights this summer than we expect to have right now. That's where we begin the 9 o'clock hour with Bob and Jamie and Pat, with the coach, Eric Camille, with Mike doing a great job directing to our YouTube and our Twitch.tv followers, and we appreciate all of you, and Connor answering your phones and chatting with you at 610-632-0975. Bob, you brought it up last week, and I was fascinated by it. I was actually looking into it Friday on the flight up. Flight down, I should say. You were saying the Sixers, you're just hoping play their game in the first round.
Yeah.
And then I just started to think about what that means, because they're like, well, Doc has a week to practice with the team. So hopefully that's fine-tuning their game, right?
Yes.
And absolutely. not having to get into the bag of tricks.
Well, you know, you always have your bag of tricks, and what you go over is, all right, what happens if this happens? And what they'll go over this week is, no matter the opponent, what happens when we dump it down to Joel Embiid and he gets doubled after the dribble, or he gets doubled before the dribble, or if he gets doubled from high or low, whatever it may be. I think it's just a retooling of everything you probably preached at the beginning of the season. Like Doc told us on air, day I got here, I told Joel, catch the ball and look. Catch and look and see where it's coming, who's coming, and what to do. So I just think this team is talented enough that the retooling that you're going to have this week, and this will be interesting. I imagine he gives them a couple of days off, and then you practice probably a little bit hard for a couple of days, and then the day before you'd have a walkthrough to get ready for the playoffs. But I think it's a really, really good time for this team, yeah, to get that motor running again exactly where it was and where Doc wanted it to be when he started the season with this group.
Jamie, who is the team that you believe, if they end up in the eighth seed, that Doc potentially would most likely have to go digging in the bag of tricks?
Potentially a Washington, just because they have two superstars and it's a grown-ass man superstar league. So, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if a zone defense came out against Washington, perhaps. If Bradley Beal's, you know, shooting the lights out and you kind of force Russell Westbrook to try and beat you from the outside or something like that. Just because they have two, that's the only reason. Tatum would likely get his in a series, and that's fine. I just don't think they have a counterpunch to Tatum right now. So anytime you can face two superstars, I think that potentially could lead to a bag of tricks.
Pat, do you have a thought on as far as if the team, to you, seems most likely to have Doc have to go deep into the bag a little bit?
I don't think early on they shouldn't need to.
I'm going to feel very bad if they do.
Yeah.
About their chances.
I think the reality is they're going to walk all over whoever they play in the first round to the point where you're going to be able to see guys kind of audition for spots in the second round. So like Maxey and Shake, I feel like are going to get a lot of run in the first round, where they're going to be battling it out for who gets more run in the second round when the games are closer and tighter.
That's Bob doesn't like that, though.
Maxey won't be playing much in the second round.
He's been playing better than Shake.
He has been playing better than Shake.
I hear what you're saying, Pat, and I'm not disagreeing with you.
He absolutely has been playing better than Shake.
I can't stand that it's come to this point, and they're still auditioning?
No. See, but it is, though, because that's what they did. They didn't take in a regular season seriously.
Yeah, so, well,
but
yeah,
I think Doc's been riding Shake so far to get him ready for this.
I hope it's declined.
It's up and down.
No.
I don't think it's overall declined. I think it's just been inconsistent.
I think last 15 games, if you're talking about like breaks, okay, 72 games. Let's break it into like 15. 15's a good number. I think last 15's been the worst 15.
He's struggled. I'll equate it to, it's almost like he hit a rookie wall. Okay?
That's what I wonder.
And there is a George Hill factor to it.
There is. So, is there a spot for, now I'll go, I said, you're saying what I said earlier in the year, that Maxey's not going to see time. I'm kind of going against that a little bit.
I think he's
going
to see it in the first round, for sure.
I think he's going to be that specialist, I think, that Doc will look at in games. Yeah, when you need energy, when you need something, he might be a go-to guy. The guy can score.
He can get to the basket. It's something really promising for their future.
I'll tell you what, and then their future, not to get away from
is
this,
is bright.
The B-ball Paul guy, I like, he's a guy.
Isaiah Joe can play.
He's a guy that on San Antonio in years past, you would look and say, oh, wow. And the next thing you know, he's a starter for 5-6 years and eventually becomes an all-star, like a B-ball Paul guy. You got Maxey. You have Milton. You have a bunch of young guys that I like.
I always look at it as, again, what San Antonio does is better than everybody else does. As an organization in the modern era of basketball, they have so many guys that they park overseas and then bring over here. Might take them 2 years to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And then things work out. They develop guys as good as any team has done in the NBA at sustaining.
Yeah.
Without having to purposely lose for 5 years in order to continue to sustain some sort of success.
And the greatest thing that they did throughout this that tremendous run that they had, they changed the way they played the game to suit what kind of talent they had. You had two bigs. You played that way. You lost one big. You surrounded the one big with shooters. Then you went to a passing offense. Remember a few, 10 years ago when their offense was so glorious to watch because it was just pass, pass, pass,
yes.
Layup, open shots, and everybody tried to emulate it. That's what's the best thing to me about San Antonio is they adapted to the talent they have, and I think that is coaching wizardry at its best.
And this is why we talked about last week. Elton Brand is quickly becoming a really good selector in the draft. I mean, like what Bob just said, they have five guys that are going to be essential to all of this, which is, you know, keeping the guys affordable on their rookie deals to supplement your superstars. And I really think B-Ball Paul, Isaiah Joe, they're real pieces for the bench in the future. And, you know, Maxey looks like he has a special NBA skill already. And that's all you can really look for in a rookie is do they have something that makes them belong? And he has it in spades. And then, you know, Shake Milton, you still hope, takes another step. Maybe this is just what he is. But they have like five guys you should feel really good about for the near future with this team.
I do want to see them empty the bench, Pat, in that first round. I want to see significant minutes, even though it's postseason.
Yeah, I want to see 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter where Joel Embiid is sitting on the bench. Happy.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I really do, because if you're so freaking worried about load management all year long, don't abandon that in the first maybe two rounds of the postseason. Make sure that you can get
the But if you end up with like a New York Knicks in the second round, Tyrese Maxey physically probably would get worn down. Like that would be tough.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would bring it to him.
He's such a spark plug, though, off the bench. It just. I feel like he invigorates this team with energy, and it's something that when Doc Rivers first ever joined us, he talked about how it's weird that rookies, at times, like veterans can really gravitate towards rookies, and rookies can really bring a team together, and he seems like one of those guys.
You know what? This would sort of be the week to sort of twist an arm, maybe. Doc's just practicing. They're just watching.
Yeah.
Maybe.
A little
maybe
insight.
We twist an arm, try to get see if Doc can
get up and pop on.
See what we can do.
Yeah, let's see what we can do.
It'd probably be the best week where we wouldn't be bothering him as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. If we can do that.
Feel like we're friends with them?
Yeah, I would feel like they're not getting back into the gym until, say, Wednesday.
Yeah. So maybe we can, you know, maybe we can see if he does that.
We can put that request in. Hopefully we know some people.
Hopefully he's a fan of the show. I think he's a...
Are you kidding me? With his basketball knowledge?
He watches
flowing?
On YouTube.
He's a Twitch guy. He's Mopar. Really?
Well, Mopar's got a big TV, I would imagine. Mopar's Doc's got a big TV.
75-incher.
Yeah.
He's got it. It works there. Bob Cooney said he saw something in sports this weekend that made him jealous.
Oh, I was so upset. Frustrated.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Frustrated and jealous at the same time, John. It's
now
not
that's
a good way to be.
No, it's not. Especially
it's
on the
not.
Weekend.
No.
Come on, Bob.
Yeah, I got to be better.
Brooks Koepka's fiance.
But it happened. No, I didn't see her.
No.
Oh, I've seen her before. He blew her off in a tournament. That was cool.
She was staring at Tiger.
Yeah, she was. So, I turned the channel after yesterday's Phillies game gets over.
Okay.
And there it is, staring me in the face.
Steph Curry.
Overtime, playoff,
oh, yes.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Ah.
Spectacular yesterday. Three of them.
Oh, my God, yeah. I know Pittsburgh went overtime. I was watching the Vegas game for a little bit. That was a nothing
and
overtime.
Golden Knights are the team that I am, since the Flyers are not in it, I will revert back to the Golden Knights.
That's your favorite?
Yeah, Golden Knights. Okay. I was rooting for them. I've been rooting for them in the midst till I came home.
Yeah, I love, and I think we all do, love playoff hockey. It is so much fun to watch. It's as close to an event that football is. I love NBA. I love the playoffs of the NBA. But NHL hockey playoff, there's something different about it. I don't know what it is.
Officiating.
That's not one of the first 10 things that comes to my mind.
Guess what? As a hockey person, I will tell you that a coach would tell you that officiating is number one. The game's officiated differently.
Oh, really?
Totally different.
In what way? They don't call
swallow their whistle.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you have to do much more blatant things It's almost like they try to coach you up for the postseason during the regular season.
Right.
They absolutely police the game much differently.
I mean, the atmosphere.
It's awesome.
The movement. I mean, it is just a fast. It's must-watch TV. And, you know, I don't have the interest in Vegas that you do.
Yep.
But or Minnesota. But I turned it on yesterday and I couldn't stop. And I can't believe. And then I get frustrated.
What's hockey, Bob?
Yeah. Then I get frustrated saying, oh, that's right. What am I complaining about? It was only 46 years ago that they won the Cup.
Seriously.
What am I thinking?
I'm hoping that when we go out in October, when the next year's NHL schedule comes out, that the Golden Knights are at home. We will be there. We'll go see them. And it is a show like you've never seen. Going to a professional sporting event on the Vegas Strip. Everything seems bigger. Walking into the building, the show before the game begins is the most amazing just presentation of game. It's amazing.
Yeah, they have a crier that like it's he cries out the goal, whoever scored a goal. It's
unbelievable. Whole thing is awesome.
It looks a lot of fun. And Bob, you were so dead on with how awesome overtime hockey is. You know when overtime hockey sucks? When your team's in it.
Oh, it's torture.
It is, I mean, edge of your seat, nerve-wracking. But when your team's out of it and you're able to kick back and just enjoy it, oh, it's amazing.
I would put it to where, Jamie, watching your team in playoff hockey, the way it's a different game.
I remember that.
Is the way baseball is different in a postseason. In the postseason of baseball, you give up a leadoff single in it.
Oh, yeah. Your butt clenches up.
As a fan, you're...
Yeah.
Edge of your seat, chewing your nails.
Absolutely.
You know, you're peeling your tangerines really clean at that
point. Oh, yeah. Every vein is coming off.
Because you're nervous. You're all nervous about it.
I miss my clementines.
It is that same feeling. In baseball, baseball is different in the postseason.
Absolutely.
I don't think football is.
One foot in the pressure cooker. No, football's not that.
Football seems like the same game to me.
Because it's an event every week.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It seems like the same game even in a game.
Because you have such long seasons, like comparatively to football, it's only 16 games, even though, you know, I know what those guys go through, so I'm not saying that. But it's a 162 game season whittled down to potentially a half an inning of baseball.
It's
it really ramps up that pressure. Same with hockey.
Every time a leadoff single or a leadoff walk in the postseason,
ugh.
You are sitting there, you're cursing the TV.
Yeah, you're living and dying with every pitch.
You're saying, Nola, why can't you get it over the plate?
There we go. And
I'm sorry, it's postseason.
It's a lot like...
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's all Nola. It's a lot like in the playoff hockey. Anytime your team takes a penalty...
Oh, yes.
You're just, they're scoring. That's it, they're scoring. You throw your arms up. In regular season, your team takes a penalty. It's like, all right, this sucks, but, you know, they'll kill it all.
Could have had so much fun. Would have been nice.
I know. Don't you miss it? Just talking about it. I'm missing it more.
Because I was coming home, and everyone's going, man, this Flyers team looks loaded.
They did.
They look young. They had a run last year, so now they're ready to take the next step.
We have been hoodwinked. Run amok.
Absolutely.
Matt Niskanen's the greatest hockey player in the face of the earth, apparently.
I was so excited to come home and pick up hockey again. And it's
one day.
No, I mean, is it because we were Golden Knights? Like the girls have Golden Knights stuff in them. I got a friend who's out there with the Knights, so we picked up the Knights as our team.
Yeah. So basically, you came back to Philly, and the Flyers sucked.
Every other year they suck, Pat.
No, I'm putting put this on you. I'm putting this on you, Ricky Bobby.
This is over a decade of them sucking. 1 year good, 1 year crap.
Well, that means the next year will be fun.
Exactly.
Yeah, next year should be good.
This time next year?
It's like Brad Lidge. Great year, bad year. Great year, bad year.
Boy, 2008. Greatest year I ever saw.
Oh, my God.
2009, he was terrible.
Greatest year I ever saw.
He was a roller coaster of a career. Because when he was great, he was great.
Yeah.
80.
Perfect.
He's a smart guy.
Oh, he's a genius. He's an archaeologist now. He's basically Indiana Jones.
I don't think that you're born on that day. And you're not great.
What day is that?
I'm smart.
Oh, you guys share a birthday, do you? I see what you did there.
Wait, so he's an archaeologist. So basically an Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Is that the only archaeologist?
Yeah, that's the only one.
Do you know any other archaeologists?
Yeah, Bluey's dad. Bandit is an archaeologist.
On the Bluey cartoon?
Yeah, he's an archaeologist. So those are the two I got. Indiana Jones and Bandit.
He's basically Indiana Jones.
Is he like... You know, going in battling snakes.
Yeah, totally. He's got a whip and everything.
Have you seen Have you seen that
hates
show?
Rats.
Have you seen that show at Hollywood Studios?
Love It or List It?
No.
The Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Yeah. It is spectacular.
I loved it as
it
a kid.
It is spectacular.
I'm sure it's upgraded since,
but
you know.
The Indiana Jones ride is at, I think that's at
Universal?
Animal Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
That's at Animal Kingdom. No. That's in California.
Okay. Disney.
They have the ride. And
what a great movie series.
Oh my gosh, it was awesome.
I think they're filming another one.
Yeah, I think they are right now.
They're in the process of it.
But what is he, though?
He's an archaeologist.
No, but
we just went through this. So,
is
first
he
one
the
he
lead
opened
character?
Up.
I know that one. Is he the lead character?
Yeah, I think so.
Of
I
this
mean, they introduced, I think, his son in the
How
Crystal Skull.
Yeah,
I think he's so bad.
I think he's transitioning into the
like
Sean
80,
Connery role.
Isn't he like 80?
He's up getting up there. Yeah, he's getting up there.
You know, Harrison Ford is the reason I was able to get my ear pierced as a youth.
What?
I wanted my ear pierced as a kid, and my parents were like, no.
What?
And my mom loved Harrison Ford. And when he got named the most beautiful man in the world or whatever the hell People magazine does, he had a diamond stud earring in. And my mom was like, oh, well, he looks classy with it. So if Harrison Ford can do it, you can get your ear pierced. So Harrison Ford, thank you for that. I know he's a big fan of the show.
He's 78.
78?
Is he?
Yeah. Do you still have your ears pierced?
I mean, no. There's still like a little hole in
it. So you're a coward?
Yeah. Big coward.
So you wouldn't want to do it now?
No.
Did you go to a professional?
Because, you know,
I did it myself once first, and they made me take it out.
We're going to have a very public contest in the fall where we will compete with our listeners for fabulous prizes in one of those confidence pools where you pick every single game every single week.
Yeah, I like those.
And then you put 16 next to the game you're strongest against one, and we keep the standings, and we will have our own show standings, and we will have the contest with our listeners. We have to put something on the line for the loser.
An ear piercing?
Maybe that's it. Maybe
no, I think getting a nose, your nose pierced.
No,
oh, God, no. No.
Why? Not doing cartoon. Not putting a hole in my nose.
Diamond studded nose piercing.
The hell out of here.
As a grown man?
Wouldn't do that.
That'd be so embarrassing.
I want Jamie to get a belly ring.
Oh, God, no.
That'd be cool.
That seems hideous looking.
What about
would you have three things protruding?
You have to, like, clean it? No.
Jamie, would you do a Prince Albert?
For the show? Anything.
Hey, that's the spirit.
Say anything you would do for the good of the show. So,
football
season's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Not if there's Prince Albert on the line. Yeah. Nobody's winning there.
Now, Connor was wondering is when do the brackets come out?
What bracket?
You know, remember he said to me about your bracket getting, well, they can't reseed because of the bracket. It's the NBA. So Connor's worried, but when's the NBA? Okay, so we can tell Connor that by Friday, let me see. By Saturday morning, he'll know what the brackets are. does Connor print off a bracket and do Sixers and then print it out? And he said the brackets. That's why you can't reseed in the NBA. He said because then it would screw up everybody's bracket. I said, what are you talking about?
He just told me if he did do that, it'd be better than all of ours.
There you go.
So shots fired.
There we go. Now, Mopar says you should force Bob to watch Poor Charles. Bob already knows.
I don't think
all
that's
the,
forcing.
Bob
man.
Knows all the characters. Bob knows.
I'm out
all,
on 3 months now.
But because you can get right back into it then when you get comfy in the house.
I can wait 30 years and then go jump right back
lots
into
more,
it.
No, lots more stuff coming.
Yeah, I know, and it all comes.
You don't
want to
miss.
Circle.
Don't want to miss it. It'll be all.
Well, right, let me just ask you a question. The guy that was missing in this day and age, do people still
he's
not
still
know?
He's still missing.
Oh my God,
he's still missing.
Stupid.
He's still missing, and he's the biggest mobster on the Eastern Seaboard. And he's still...
You're telling me a soap opera is
he's
stupid?
Still missing.
How about that?
He's still missing. How could you be missing? Put his face on something.
Hello.
Put him on something. But Nixon Falls must not have social media.
Yeah. Is this crossover going to end soon?
It will. Hey, here's... You know what? You got to have your head in the game. This player does not have his head in the game. He's a case. We'll get to it next. And it's good for the Sixers. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. The Parks Casino Sportsbook app is the official sportsbook partner of the Fanatic Philly sports fan. Easy to use, safe, reliable. The home team, that Parks Casino, it's absolutely beautiful. I haven't been up in a couple weeks. Might get up there this Saturday, though. But now they have the live in-game play-by-play get betting. You're going to be sitting on the edge of your seat, as we just talked about, watching every single 76ers game during the postseason. Well, why not get in now with the Parks Casino Sportsbook app and a risk-free bet of up to $500? Go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC. It's a great, great deal. You're going to get the opportunity maybe to wager. Do you believe that we're going to see a parade here in town? If you do, put your money on the line right now. You can do it with a $500 risk-free bet by using the promo code Fanatic. They've got all the parlays, all the lines, all those player props that you want. But the in-game wagering is fantastic. It's a chess game within the game. You're going to love it. So get on in now. Get the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hopefully your Monday's been fired up. Ours has been. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. We appreciate you being a part of our show and being a part of the family. And tell your family, tell your friends. We love you out there listening to the show. The more time you spend with us, the better. When you take that app with you all day long and you're listening to Anthony and Mike and you carry it through to Devon, and you're going to want to be here for all the Sixers playoff action. Where you are, you're home for Sixers basketball here in the Fanatic. So it's going to be a fantastic time, and we're glad you're going to be here and along for the ride with us. So Kyrie Irving doesn't have his head in the game at the best part of the season. And I can tell you that, just trying to do a little thing, it's like, how does this go over? When a player in the locker room says, yeah, my top priority isn't hoops. Because you see what's going on over there between Israel and Palestine? I'm focused on that. That's serious stuff. I'm not focused on basketball. Basketball, you guys want me to answer basketball questions. I'm not focused on it. He was like the anti-Joe Girardi. He was being even more, well, you know, there's something going on in the world that I care about, and it's more important than basketball, at a post-game basketball press conference. I told you before, Kyrie Irving is out there. Borderline, a little nutty. This is incredible, though, that you are sitting behind a microphone, you're performing in a game, and you make your job secondary to a cause or something you're interested in on the world stage, that it's more important than the game itself. I guarantee you that's not, first of all, it's not how employment works. I can care about Israel and Palestine and a million other issues. But when I come to work and take a paycheck, I'm supposed to care about work first. That's got to be the priority while I'm on work hours. When it's not work hours, absolutely. I can bury my head in anything I want to. This is great news for the Sixers. He never has had his head in the game completely. And right now, heading into the postseason, he flat out, I'll just say it to you. Yeah, you guys want me to be excited about hoops. This isn't my top priority right now. You can be as compassionate as you want, but when you go to work, you can also be a professional. Bob, did you see all those comments?
I did.
Did you see the video?
I did. Kyrie Irving, admirable that he's caring about something going on in this world.
And
that,
he wants you to know about it. Deadly wants you to know about it.
That's the thing. And look, are there more important things than basketball in this world?
We know that already.
No question about it.
Yep.
And all you have to do is look in your own backyard and you'll probably see something. But yeah, I don't know why he always has to be the shocking quote of the day. For some reason, he feels the need to do that. You know what, though? Maybe, just maybe, a Harden and a Durant look at it and say, yeah, go ahead, keep going, because that takes the focus off of us. I can take off my sneakers, put on my shoes, and
never
get out of here.
Never thought about that.
You know, it's like sometimes media hogs are appreciated by teammates, being that they're not being go-to, you know, by reporters all the time. So I don't know if there's some kind
of... It isn't by design. I can tell you this. I know
probably
for a fact that his distractions before in locker rooms and everything is not some grand scheme design.
No, I don't think so.
This is who he is.
You couldn't have a more complicated situation than what's going on over there right now. And it's great that, you know, he senses, you know, human suffering and all that. But I tried to put myself in the shoes, and I don't really want to get into Kyrie's, you know, beliefs of what's going on over there, because God, it's extremely complicated. Anyway, if I put myself in the shoes of a teammate and I'm going, dude, what?
Seriously.
It's not the most important thing in the world to you?
I've been, like, say I'm a fringe player, you know, not that Joe Harris is fringe, but like a TLC or somebody, and I've been working my ass off for, you know, since the bubble last year to get ready for this moment. I'm going, oh, this is beneath you right now? Like, what the hell, dude? Like, yeah, you can, you know, recognize what's going on in the world, but this is your job. This is what we've all worked towards. This is the most important thing outside of your family right now.
It's Monday morning.
It would tick me off as a teammate. It really would have.
It's Monday morning, and Pat Egan comes to work, and I say to Pat, let's go. We're going to have a good show today. Everything. You got it. John, I'm really, I saw the news this weekend, and you know, you want me to be excited about the John Kincaid show. There's more important things going on in the world. We know there's more important things going on in the world than this show, than a basketball game or otherwise. But it's work. And a professional comes to work. You've got all the other hours of your day to be as worried and as civic active as you want to be.
And I've played sports my entire life. You guys have too. When you're in the moment of playing, you're not thinking about Israel and Palestine.
Correct.
I've had personal things going on in my life and I'm out there. But like during the game, during the moment, that's all I'm thinking about because you don't really have a chance to think about anything else. Now, yeah, okay, once you get back to the bench, the locker room, then maybe it creeps in your head, but really?
He is a attention whore. He is.
He
always has, but he always has been. So this isn't something new. He always has to have that conversation, and he derails teams. He derails locker rooms. He derails organizations with this stuff. And it's known in the NBA. That he's always going to have to, like, there's no reason why when the Nets are about to embark on a chance to win a championship.
Yeah.
That they're talking about this.
Yeah, it's odd. And I'm sure somebody probably addressed him about it. Or players were like, yeah, that's just him being him. As long as for 36 minutes that he plays, if he's Kyrie Irving on the floor, he can say whatever the hell he wants. I don't know. I do find it a distraction. I would, as a teammate, be eye-rolling behind his back, like, oh my God, are you serious?
You eye-roll right to my face.
Oh, I eye-roll,
So why would you be eye-rolling behind his back?
Well, good point.
Kyrie could probably kick your butt, though.
I would hope so. He's a professional athlete. 30 years younger than me.
Hey, Staples is evolving into Staples Connect. It's a new world of possible. They've got innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. You can explore what's new at your local Staples store or visit staplesconnect.com. What did you guys see this weekend after President Biden the other night? You know, change the mask mandate and things opened up a lot more. What did you see this weekend that put a smile on your face? I gave people hugs in Atlanta when I was down. Saw people I know. Saw people I haven't been given a hug to in a year.
Yeah.
And it was like, it felt amazing to see people.
Yeah, and for me, it would probably be having my daughter get together with some of my friends' kids. Like, she's awesome. Kind of been sheltered from that aspect of her young twos. And this weekend, we got them together with my cousins and some friends' kids and all that. So that was, that put a smile on my face.
I love that. One of my handful of favorite sounds in the entire world. Kids at play.
Yeah.
Oh, come on over to my house.
Hey, you got the kids playing basketball outside.
I put up the hoop this weekend. They have a full court to run across the street from their driveway to my driveway. They play full court.
That's awesome.
To me, the sound of kids at play is one of the greatest sounds in the whole world, especially little kids.
Yeah.
The chatter, the squealing, I love that. I love that. To me, that sound is pure happiness.
Yeah, Skylar made a little friend Mia at the playground in Chestnut Hill on Saturday, a little 3-year-old, and they were palling around holding hands. And I was like, this is just nice that she can return to normal.
Pat, did you see anything?
My son started soccer shots.
Oh, nice.
Soccer shots.
The Pee Wee soccer program.
Yeah, for 2-year-olds. They get familiar with the soccer ball, basically. And
how was that?
I didn't go to the practice. My wife took him, but when he got back, he couldn't wait to show me his jersey.
That's so awesome.
And then she told me how uninterested he was in actually playing soccer.
It's okay, though.
She showed me pictures. He's like walking hand in hand with his buddy.
It's okay, though. You know?
Yeah, but he's two. So it was like
the fact they're together.
You get adjusted to that.
Not everybody's Cam Camille. You know, not everybody goes pro at the age of 8.
Cam.
Yeah, Cam. I go the gamut of stories. So one of my kids, their first game of soccer, he started in goal. and I'm watching the game go on. All of a sudden, the ball's about to come down. I'm ready to turn to tell him to be ready, and he's stuck in the net. Literally stuck. He was playing.
Oh, he was.
He was literally, his foot and a hand was stuck in the net.
Did he make the save?
I don't think so. Go to the other end of it. I missed one of my other kids' first soccer games, and I call. We were at Notre Dame for a football game, and I call, and I'm like, well, how did he do? Oh, no, forget it. You missed it. He only had 6 goals or so, you know, something stupid like that. So I'm like, seriously? So you'll see it all during your years of watching the kids. It's
so nice seeing, and to all the local businesses out there, and to all the bar keeps and the restaurants and the that have been so hurt by this.
Yeah.
Just.
I had to get on a waiting list Saturday. We stepped at Chestnut Hill Brewery, and I said, can I get a table? She said, yeah, it's probably going to be 25 That's minutes. Great. And I said, no problem, because it means good business for you guys.
I went into Waffle House. We went to Waffle House Saturday morning. So just Christine and I went, because Olivia and I were going out later in the day together. And we went into the Waffle House, and just to get your name. Now, when you go to your local Waffle House.
Still never been to one.
Part of the whole shtick is, Jamie!
Your table!
Like Norm. Jamie! What's up, James? Jamie's here. And like, if you're a person who goes to that Waffle House, they will go, Jamie's here!
Yeah, that's cool.
Yo, Jamie, go on, what are you...
The normal?
Tell me that thing.
Yeah.
And so, that's part of the shtick. The whole thing is to make you feel comfortable at your home diner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool to see everybody in there. And
it's good.
See faces and
smiles. Waffle Houses really prominent down south?
Like everywhere.
Wait, are you serious? No, I didn't know it until we went. I honestly
got everywhere.
It's like
South
a cultural,
Carolina,
when it's we a were cultural down thing, yeah. I mean, there was a Waffle House every 10
feet. Yeah. Bob, there is a, from where,
I thought you were kidding.
From where the girls, no. From where the girls, when you sold the house, and the girls are living in this high rise until they move up here. There is a, I could go east, north, south, or west. From that apartment building, and I could get you there in 3 miles to a Waffle House.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
It's
unbelievable. They're smaller, so you don't have, you don't have giant Waffle Houses. There's maybe, the most you'll ever see is maybe 12 tables.
No Taj Mahal Waffle Houses?
No, they don't do the Taj Mahal Waffle House, which, by the way, Taj Mahal is a thing now because of you. People love that.
Yeah.
Every time you say it. But it's fun to get in there. Hey, in the linchpin, Jamie says, you know, be more like this guy.
This is the linchpin.
This weekend, Nick Castellanos did something I thought was really cool. He hit a home run in a big spot, but he went over after the home run and fist bumped a fan that was sitting in the stands after the game and ended up being like, you know, basically the game-winning moment. So he was the interview after the game. And there was a partition between the dugout, like a little plexiglass thing like we have right here between the dugout and the fan. And Nick outsourced his interview post-game to the fan because he had a great story to tell. And here's Nick's, and I do that in quotes, post-game interview, which came from the fan.
TV here now. What led up to the fist bump? So I told Nick when he got up there that he should imagine that Rob Manfred's face was on the baseball. And the next pitch, he lit it up over the fence, baby. Alrighty.
And it's just awesome.
That is.
And Nick looks at the camera and just gives one of those like Michael Jordan security guard shoulder shrugs like, well, he said it, not me, so you can't find me. That's great. Everybody loves hating a commissioner. You're getting a fan involved with the fun. The fan has his 15 minutes of fame now for life. Be more like Nick Castellanos and have some damn fun with the game. Get the fans involved. I thought it was a really cool thing for Major League Baseball.
I like that.
And
very much.
I think they need to embrace that more. That type of, you can't do that all the time, obviously.
Correct.
But embrace that kind of fun and shared fan experience. Kudos to you for getting it, Nick.
Absolutely awesome. That's a fantastic thing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I told him to picture Manfred's face on it.
That's great.
That. Next
pick. So kudos to him.
Gosh.
Good job. I want to point out anybody in Major League Baseball that's doing things the right way.
I like that.
And as much as I hated Trevor Bauer earlier in the year, the stuff that he said was the right thing to say. So anybody that gets it, hat tip to you, sir.
And not only was it an awesome moment because he hit the home run, obviously, so he helped out the fan there. He had the wherewithal to not say it so to have the fans say it, so we can finally, Jamie pointed out, it's amazing, though, how disliked Rob Manfred is. Now, most of the time, commissioners in sports are.
Roger Goodell is.
Yeah, but Rob Manfred takes it to another level because it seems like everybody thinks this guy is completely incompetent, which leads to your point, in a year from now, are we even going to have baseball?
Yeah, and that fan interview was brought to you by PropSwap. They're everywhere, John. They're America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets.
How many people in our listening audience do you think have gone on and bought Sixers to win the NBA title? Sixers to win the Eastern Conference title?
A good amount.
I believe there are.
Because the beauty of PropSwap is you can get better odds than you can currently, so you can go buy somebody's ticket.
Do you believe somebody has gone on and said, hey, now
I would think so. Because you can probably get great value with the Sixers.
You can buy somebody's ticket and then wait a couple weeks and then sell it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And every single game the Sixers win
decreases the odds.
Because then, exactly.
It's a party of PropSwap.
You got to study the numbers. But then you'll have still Sixers doubters.
Sure.
That might keep
absolutely
the price a little down.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good. There's going to be plenty of that.
Yes.
Because there's still going to be the people who are literal detractors.
Mm-hmm.
I will absolutely guarantee we're talking about the conference finals.
I think so, too.
Guarantee it.
Guarantee.
In the least cocky way possible, yes, I think so too.
Hawks, Knicks, they're going to beat the Sixers 4 out of 7 times with the Sixers holding home court advantage. That's not happening.
Yeah. Did they sweep the Knicks this year?
No, I don't.
Did the Knicks win
one? I think the Knicks might have won
did
one.
Did the Knicks take one up there? I don't remember.
I feel like they swept them.
Yeah, the Hawks definitely did.
Yeah.
Knicks series will be physical, but I'm not worried.
Oh, too. Yeah. And the Hawks will still... can put a scare into you some nights.
Oh, sure.
Trey Young could go for 40 any night.
Guess what? Yeah. I'll let Trey go for 40.
Yeah. John Collins beat me.
if Doc was listening, I would be glad to say, Doc, just let Trey do his thing and say, John Collins, you got to beat us. And I don't believe John Collins is going to be able to come up 4 nights and beat you. I don't believe there's going to be enough of that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say if he isn't already, Doc Rivers will be on a golf course today.
I would be too if I was Doc Rivers.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah,
no question.
Absolutely. Get my mind away from the game for a day, recharge a little bit, and get ready for the push.
I'm going to hit Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club.
Sunday. Nice.
Oh, nice. Sunday?
It's Sunday morning.
It's a fun course.
Sunday morning.
You know what you'll do while you're there? You'll marvel at the views.
That's right.
Is that it? Is marvel at the views in Downingtown? Those are my people.
Yeah.
That is my people.
Yeah, Ron's got some nice courses.
Downingtown,
you'll have a blast.
Downingtown's the way to go. So we will have that going on, too. So this is so exciting. It really is to have what is dawning on us right now. But a week of just building up and getting to watch the teams that are desperate to try to play and knowing that the Sixers' opponent is going to have to play twice.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
It really is.
That's Anthony Gargano, ladies and gentlemen.
It's funny because I don't know how you guys feel about the play-in tournament itself, but I love the fact that there's like all this buildup, like you said.
Yeah.
Like
LeBron versus Steph buildup? Come on.
It's awesome. It is. It's fantastic. And for us, you know, you get to celebrate the one seed.
Look forward
to it. So much of the journey is the anticipation.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, just going through it. So I love it, man. I'm excited.
I love the idea of knowing we're sitting down to watch a doubleheader tomorrow.
Stress-free.
And it's totally stress-free.
Yeah.
And you're hoping that there is one of our YouTubers earlier was saying, I'm hoping for a turned ankle tomorrow night. Like, you know.
No, don't put that down in the universe.
You don't put that in the universe. Don't do that. Don't do that.
No,
but I'm actually hoping, I want to see some people get beat up. I want to see physically. I want to see them beating each other up mentally, physically. I want it to be a grind.
Well, you know what's crazy too? Like beyond that, you talked about the Kyrie stuff. I mean, that's unbelievable.
I can't believe he said it.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
You can't.
I mean, I can, unfortunately, because it's him. But like, dude,
That's him, man.
Like, you're talking to your teammates when you're talking to the public too.
Kyrie, who literally destroyed a championship club, with his ego.
And then
said, oh, Boston, you're me. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm Boston.
I don't see those three.
He's never going to be happy.
As great as they are, I can't imagine those three.
I know.
Getting past all the landmines in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially Miami with that. Or no. Who do they have first round? Why am I drawing a blank? You don't know yet. I agree with you, Ant. That could be a huge distraction. But my question to you is, because I brought it up earlier, who do you want first round?
Of the four teams.
Yeah.
Did you hear me earlier? They knew that was your answer. They knew it. They said there is going to be no doubt.
Wipe the floor with them. I want payback. Yeah, wipe the floor with them.
Yeah.
I just love watching the Sixers-Boston series.
I love it, and I want their sweep their ass.
Yeah. Do you go Boston and then MSG for the first two rounds?
Vintage.
That's awesome. Great playoffs.
No. But I actually hope it's I hope it's Charlotte, Atlanta.
Oh.
Because then I know that they're rolling into the conference finals rested, ready, okay.
How about if it's the ATL? You'll be like Superman.
I just want to kick their ass, too. and there's some really good people to have.
You'll be like Superman.
I want to kick their ass if that's the case.
That's right, brother.
Gotta love it now, Cuz Radio today. I mean, are you gonna pre-scout this, or are you gonna react?
1,000 times.
Plus, I can't wait and save it. I can't wait to hear Anthony Gargano on Joe Girardi. This is going to be Italian on Italian crime this afternoon, like you haven't seen since Godfather 2. Because don't watch Godfather 3; it was garbage. You absolute garbage.
Well, there's also Sirianni too.
Yeah, there is more. The Italians are in the crosshairs today on that. But you know what? He's so excited for ball. He loves ball. Hey, remember to support life-saving cancer research, please. Join me and our generous partner, Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning, in making a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today by going to 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Folks, you know it. I know it. Cancer research saves lives. I'm one of the 17 million people that proves it every single day. We hope that you had a tremendous Monday. We had a lot of fun with you. We look forward to getting you ready for the two games we get to watch tomorrow night. Stress-free. Can't wait for it. It's the John Kincaid Show. For everybody here, have a great, great Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.